If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
Start off with everybody open your windows and join Johnny in our weekly scream. Okay. Well, kind of okay.
Now you know where to go when you need a friend. Just tune that radio to WGN.
That's right.
No more blue Chicago.
I'm very confused. What is this starting the show on time stuff?
I know. It's been forever.
It's been, what, over a month, I think?
Easily. And back in the day, we were driving into work. It was dark. Today was kind of unsettling, but I got some good pictures.
And you can see them if you go to facebook.com/Steve and Johnny Show, and you will see some of the pictures that Johnny posted of our drive-in tonight.
Mm-hmm. And again, remember, the vehicle is moving. I'm driving. I'm taking pictures.
No, wait. No. Well, no.
Just wanted to see if they're listening. Oh, gosh. It's going to be a long 5 hours, Steve.
Yeah. You know what I want to start with?
I bet I know.
Hey, Ron.
Because you were looking up at the monitor and you're looking right at Ron.
Oh, hi.
Uh-huh.
What a Cubs game yesterday.
We've never seen anything like it, and that's not hyperbole. We've never in the history of baseball seen a game like that.
It was literally a history-making game, and I can't get over Pat Foley.
No, that's the wrong Pat.
Oh, good Lord.
It takes you back to Blackhawks days.
Pat Hughes, I think he sounded happier than when he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
He may have been. It was that kind of game. The unexpected kept happening.
How many runs in that one inning?
Six home runs. Two. Now, this is in just the seventh and eighth inning at Wrigley yesterday. Six home runs. Two grand slams, mm-hmm. all four types of hits, all four types of home runs, three half innings of five-plus runs. Never in Major League Baseball had all of that happen in an entire game, let alone in two innings.
All they were missing was a partridge and a pear tree.
Yeah, really.
And everything else. It was wild.
Oh. And, you know, if you left the game because you were frustrated, don't you know you were kicking yourself as you were driving out of the parking lot going, wah, wah, wah?
I would think that you would not tell anybody. You wouldn't admit to it.
You're right.
Like, oh, yeah, I was there.
Because it was on the newscast just before that inning, and Steve Bertrand was talking about, oh, well, looks like the Cubs are going to blow this one because they've...
Wow, what
a turnaround.
It was Kevin Powell was talking about, that's really bad news when you can score 10 runs in one inning.
It was devastating. We were all watching it here in the newsroom. Oh, no. Oh, a grand slam. We're commiserating. And then nobody's expecting a comeback after that. But that's the beauty of baseball. You never say never.
And so for history purposes, 16 combined runs in one inning, first time ever. Is that correct?
First time at Wrigley Field because it was the first time in baseball history that that many runs have been scored in one single inning.
Crazy.
Combined.
Yeah, combined.
Wow. So it was a heck of a game. It turned out well for Cubs fans, but it was a roller coaster ride for sure. We didn't have to go to I was going to say Great America, but it's Six Flags now.
Yes.
That's how old I am.
But how appropriate that it happened at Wrigley. I love that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, all you had to do to come down to earth is just go over to the Sox game. And then all of a sudden, you're like,
Did you hear they set another record today?
So what, six in a row?
Their worst road start.
Oh.
Yep. 0-8 in team history.
0-8.
Yeah. Even they didn't even do that last year.
No.
As far as, you know, on the road. So.
Yeah.
And yet, I'm still enjoying watching this, because it's baseball, so I'm good. Mm-hmm. But there are moments, there are players. Are they going to get even close to a playoff or World Series? Heck no. But there are moments, there are things that are happening that I'm enjoying watching.
Well, they came from behind, with Luis Robert Jr. hit a two-run homer to tie up the game, so they came from behind.
Had to go extra inning.
And so that was, they're battling, they're not laying down, so...
Yeah.
And did you see the Sun-Times story? Boy, I hope this happens, where it looks as if Channel 9 may work out some sort of an agreement where they would wind up carrying the Sox and the Bulls and the Blackhawks. I hope that happens.
Yeah, that could. It would be temporary, I think, until they work out their contract between the two stations.
Well, if they're going to work it out, you'd think they'd do it by now.
You would think so.
We all thought the week before baseball started they were going to work it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I'm back on the Sox. I brought myself down.
Yeah.
I was feeling so good.
Yeah.
Oh, golly.
And we're grabbing for all the gusto we can, wherever we can these days.
Yeah. I came to work so I could rest because I've cooked all day today. We're going to talk a little bit about Easter food. So you guys, I hope you
have... Easter foods, Easter traditions.
Yes, I hope you have snacks available because that's what happens when we start talking about food this early in the show.
We have a full show tonight. A little later, Jessica Radloff, host of the official Big Bang Theory podcast, will be joining us. A guy that we haven't talked with in much too long time, Robbie Foulkes.
Yep.
Terrific performer, helped us with our Life After Dark CD. He's coming back to Chicago for some appearances at Space. He's going to be joining us. Tom Appel will be joining us a little later tonight to talk about a lot of car news. And we will remember Wink Martindale.
Yes, yes.
We had the occasion to be co-hosts with Wink at a very special concert. We'll talk about that and play part of an interview that we did with Wink. So.
And after midnight, it will be Easter and 420
Day. So we just may have to...
What may we do?
We have to hit on 420 Day.
If that matters.
And there's a particular song that we are going to play.
Yes.
Longtime listeners probably have a clue what we're going
to
play.
Yes. I'll go back to the I Have Gummies if anybody wants them to celebrate.
Yeah.
They're legal, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Right?
In Illinois, yeah.
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 Okay. I'm sorry I said that. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back here on WGN.
Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps a-rolling on down to San Antone.
Steve King and Johnny Putman on WGN Radio. That's one of Julian's choices. Love that. Johnny Cash live from Folsom Prison. And that was Carl Perkins playing lead guitar with Johnny at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And our friend W.S. Holland
on drums.
We last saw W.S. Holland.
The alley behind the Opry.
Yes. And I'm trying
the Ryman.
Because we did a couple shows at the Ryman. And we'll talk about one of them later tonight. But I'm trying to figure which show was that. Was that the Rockabilly Hall of Fame show? Or was that the Duane Eddy concert? Or was that the Les Paul concert?
Oh, stop. I don't remember a lot of these things. Maybe it was the gummies. That's my problem.
and again, we'll talk more about it later. But there is something special about stepping on the stage at the
Ryman
Auditorium.
Yes, yes, yes. But I have to ask, Julian, why? What's the story?
I was kind of inspired by so today is my cousin's birthday, mm-hmm. and we went to this nifty little place called the Hampton Social. Never been. It's very exquisite, very fancy, like pink in the air fancy.
Mm-hmm. Where is it?
Barrington, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And at this place, they had a guy who was performing on his guitar, and he did a Johnny Cash cover, this particular song, and I really enjoyed it. So I've had Johnny Cash in my mind all day.
Well, that's a good thing. That's always a good thing.
Yeah.
But what an interesting mixture of fancy and a guy playing guitar and doing Johnny Cash music.
Yeah, and he was doing it in a sort of like a folky sort of tune.
Okay. But it was good.
Oh, very good.
Hmm.
What's the atmosphere at the place?
Very like casual kind of.
Is it a restaurant?
It's a restaurant, but it's also a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And very kind of upscale, kind of like mid-20s girl outing kind of thing. A lot of young women in their 20s there.
Okay.
Which makes sense why my cousin picked the place.
Yeah, I was just going to say, now it all is becoming more clear.
Now I get it.
Well, any excuse to hear Johnny Cash is a good thing as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I love the imagery, too, of the fancy place with a bunch of 20-something girls and the dude's playing Johnny Cash on his guitar.
He was going all over the place. He was doing some 70s, 80s, even 90s music.
Well, was the food good?
Oh, it was so good.
I had
this very thin pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Meat lovers, of course, because I got to have my meat.
Mm-hmm.
But my whole family had something wildly different. My mother had this chicken sandwich. My brother had, he ordered steak and eggs, but he got a little bit of steak and an egg. So he was very disappointed.
Okay, Julian, we're only 24 minutes into the show, and now a food Jones is breaking out.
You don't want to walk into his room either, because it was smelling good in there. Was that leftovers from earlier today?
Yep, had some leftover chicken, and then there's some kind of chocolatey thing with peanut butter on it. It's tasty.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, everybody.
So I hit the ground this morning and started cooking because we have family coming for Easter tomorrow.
It's our traditional spring fling for Easter, and my brother Lee and our friends Ann and Tim are going to be joining us.
And I thought if I waited until I got home at 3:30 in the morning, I probably wouldn't be very productive in the kitchen, so let me get it all, as much as I can do today, done. And then tomorrow I'll just have the ham to do, a ham and a banana pudding. That's all I have to do tomorrow.
And the kitchen smells so good.
So today it was sweet potatoes, au gratin potatoes. This is not a diet meal either. Sweet potatoes.
And by the way, I'm not just saying this. Johnny makes the best au gratin potatoes you will ever have. Period. End of story.
Thank you. I don't use a mandolin either because I lost a fingertip once with a mandolin. And I don't mean the kind
that's
that
why they tasted different.
I don't mean the kind that you play. I mean that vicious piece of kitchen equipment that will just slice your hand off if you're not careful.
And Bertrand.
Did he do the same thing?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. But he was by himself, so it was even worse.
Well, I was...
Did you do it with a mandolin?
Yeah.
Ow.
And he was by himself, and he was trying to figure out how to,
stop the blood.
Stop the bleeding and try and call for help, and he was by himself.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. So he refuses to... So if you ever, if you ever want one, you can just ask him.
Mine went into garage sale. And I could hear my...
your finger?
Yes.
No, that went into the au gratin potatoes. Come on.
But I like to thinly slice them by hand. So I got 5 pounds of potatoes already to pop in the oven. 5 pounds. And
you realize my brother Lee is salivating.
And
right now.
The praline sweet potatoes and the baked beans and the coleslaw and the 18 deviled eggs, which if you cut them in half, you got 36 double deviled eggs. I think we got enough for everybody. And maybe a little egg salad for Monday. We also have, I made pea salad. You've ever had pea salad? Green pea salad with cheddar cheese and onions and bacon and sour cream and and garlic and celery seed. And I'm salivating as I'm talking. also, four bean salad because that's a favorite. And all of these things actually are great leftovers. So I know it sounds like an awful lot of food, but then people can take stuff home if they so choose. And did you buy a ham? You didn't buy a ham, did you, Bob?
No.
No?
There's only three of us,
Yeah, but you know what? Have you seen the prices for hams?
Yeah.
I got a $41 ham for $9. That's crazy. We should have a ham every night. I was stunned. I'm standing.
But you are the coupon queen.
Well, no, I'm standing in the Jewel going, this must be wrong. How can this be? It says $41. And then the little sticker just above it said $9.49.
And what was the deal if you downloaded their app? It was even,
Off. I had to put the app to take it from 99 cents a pound down to 69 cents a pound. So you better believe I'm standing in the store downloading the app on my phone. And I was floored. And this is one of those beautiful spiral cut hams. I know I could go to the place that specializes in hams, but you all may recall what happened last year when I went and asked them if it was gluten-free. And the guy goes, no. I said, well, could you check? No.
Well, that was after not having a clue about what gluten-free was.
Yeah. And then I said, well, could you ask someone? And he said, no. I figured, well, I'm out of here.
And I was in the car.
Yes.
And I could see by your body language that things were not going well. And Johnny
was it because
went in,
I was leaning over the counter going for his throat? Is that what gave it away?
That gave me a clue. And then when you came out quickly, it was like, because we were all ready. It had been years since we'd done this, but it was a case of...
Well, we did it because of because Ron Brown had purchased one.
Yeah.
And everybody else
so
was...
So it's all your fault, Ron.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Remember last year when you went and bought one of those fancy hams?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The honey-baked hams.
Yeah.
They were excellent.
Yeah, but they were not
very... gluten-free.
Not very, or at least they don't know if they are
They
not.
Didn't have a clue, and they didn't want us to know. And
it was just, no.
It's a secret recipe.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a classic case of the kind of customer service that chased the customer away.
Yeah, it literally did, which is too bad, because, yes, it is a very good product, but... at least not that guy. Okay, we're going to have to take a break and maybe have a little snack while we're in a break and then come right back here on WGN.
Faces, traces on. Traces on my mind. disguise. Faces, traces on.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Remember a couple weeks ago, our last show from Panama City? We had Tracy Mick in studio.
Mm-hmm.
That's Tracy's new single. It was just released this week. It's called Traces.
Nice.
And it's available on all streaming platforms. She is such a talent.
She is. Watch the space. The girl's going places. She's working really hard. She's writing all the time. She's getting more and more gigs. I think she's getting a little bit more sure of herself.
Yeah.
Because she's very shy. And it's just exciting to watch this transition.
And when we're back down in Florida, which is going to be in
June
mm-hmm. Tracy will be back in studio with us. We've had a lot of people just loving mm-hmm. her music as much as we do and asking, are we going to have her on again? And we will. But again, it's Tracy Mick, T-R-A-C-Y-M-I-C-K. And the song is Traces. And you can find it on all streaming platforms, and it's good. And
she's very active on Facebook. You can friend her and follow her there as well.
And she's on Instagram at This Here's the Rubber Duck.
Rubber Duck, yes, because her daddy was an over-the-road trucker, as in Rubber Duck. C.W. McCall, Rubber Duck. All right, speaking of ducks, I'm going to take you back to Easter.
Okay.
That's a good transition. So during the news, Ron had the story about the Russians and the Ukrainians and their ceasefire for Easter. And we all went, well, why are they recognizing Easter? And then, Bob, you Googled and found out that...
For the first time since 2017, the Russian Orthodox and the...
Christian
Easter fall on the same date.
So that's why they would be...
That's why they would be interested in an Easter ceasefire.
Because we both went, why are they doing Easter? Sure enough, there's a good reason why they're doing Easter. So
whatever the reason, if everybody stops shooting, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Am I the only one that was surprised at the number of stores that are going to be closed for Easter Sunday? I know that's the norm. People go out to brunch, so you do the restaurant thing. Some people go out to movies just because they want to get away from their family. That's also a thing. But I was surprised at the list. I came across Target, Macy's, Aldi, Kohl's, Lowe's, Marshall's, TJ Maxx, Home Goods, Costco, Sam's Club, JCPenney, all closed. Walmart will be open regular hours. Home Depot will be open from 8 until 6. Apparently, some of the stores that will be open are your Walgreens. Walgreens is always open. God bless them. You know, it's Christmas morning and you need batteries.
Yeah.
You got your Walgreens.
And we've had those Christmas mornings. Yep.
Remember when we were putting up our village, our Christmas village?
Oh, yeah.
And we needed little tiny light bulbs and you had to run out.
And the light. By the way.
In your PJs.
Warning. If you buy night light bulbs,
mm-hmm.
and we buy a lot of them in part because there's a village that we have up, be careful where you're buying them from. There is one, I don't know what the location is, but all I know is with the bulbs that we got that you ordered from somebody
from
on
Amazon. Yeah.
And they have just gone out like within a day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very weird. Because I said, well, wait a minute. That also happened because we have year-round Christmas trees.
Yeah.
And there was a time when I would put lights on the tree, and it would be a year before I'd have to change them. And I was told it's because we don't turn it off. It's when you turn it on and off. Engineer, does that sound logical?
That's the prevailing theory among us engineers.
Yeah. So if you're not bothering it, you're just letting it sit there. And now it's like every month I have to take all the decorations off and put new lights on.
But this was a case of literally you changed this one in particular, and it wasn't 24 hours, and
it
was black.
I know. So maybe we got to start buying name brand things.
Yeah.
Could that be it?
That's possible.
Yeah. Just because I got 50 in a box for $10.99.
Yeah, I can't imagine why there'd be a quality problem with that.
When you go to the drugstore and you get four for $14, you know. Maybe not $14, but there's a big difference. So it really is. That's the problem. We're getting, I don't know, everything I want to say.
And the problem is you don't know till you get home.
And you plug it in, yeah. And you're like, oh, okay, well, that was dumb. All right, so those are your stores that are open. Apparently, Trader Joe's is going to be open. Some Ace Hardware's are going to have their own limited hours. So I guess the thing to do is call ahead to see if the place you're going is going to be open on Easter Sunday.
But I would assume that some restaurants,
should
be. This should be a good weekend for them.
I was looking at the ads.
But by the way, what was the thing we saw last night? The scam with
you make a restaurant reservation,
and depending on how you make the reservation,
your reservation isn't good. You use the third-party app to make your reservation, and there is another app that's buying up all the grabbing all the reservations and turning around and selling them.
Yeah.
And people are paying hundreds of dollars for a reservation.
And money does not go to the restaurant.
Oh, it does not.
In fact, we saw our friend Steve Burness from the Better Business Bureau talking about. In fact, Julian, next week, let's try and get Steve Burness to jump on with us to talk about that and a couple other things that are going on,
that
too.
That was so infuriating for the restaurateurs because they think they're going to have a full house and they're all ready and nobody shows up. That is really, really frustrating and wrong. And I don't know how they're going to control that unless restaurants just decide, okay, you need to call us and talk to us to make your reservation as opposed to going to this reservation app that has become wildly popular and worked beautifully until somebody got the smarts to figure out how to break it. That's me.
Welcome to 2025.
Yes. Oh, can I just go back to the whole business of stores being closed on Easter? I think that's grand. I think it's wonderful that people get the opportunity, whether it's on Thanksgiving Day or Christmas or the holidays, where they can be with their families, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm not complaining. I've got no ideas, no desire to go shopping any place tomorrow. I did look at the listing for some of the brunch meals, and I'm not charging you guys enough for brunch. That's all I can say. Because I was seeing brunches.
We had to have our reservations in advance.
Yeah,
now what do you want?
You think you have a reservation.
Yeah, the app took all the seats.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen there.
There's no place for you at the table. I saw one brunch was $65 a person, you know, for my $9 ham. A lot of meals out of that.
Where was the place we used to go years ago with your mom and dad? It was up in Lincolnshire.
They had
a wonderful Easter brunch.
Please tell me if they still do brunch there, because they had this ginormous seashell. Can you imagine? This half shell, but it was, I'm holding my arms out.
Looks good on radio.
Full wingspan. Yeah. This is full wingspan, right? That's how big it was. And then when you walked up to the table, there was that shell, and it was just shrimp. Just shrimp deep, elbow deep. She knows because I stuck my hand in there. It's ice and shrimp. Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. And if you like shrimp, it was really good. Because if you buy a shrimp cocktail, you get like six. Right.
Hold your hands out again, showing how big it is.
Show how big.
Okay, good. Got it.
Okay. So. And then our other favorite brunch was Marshall Fields.
Oh, Marshall Fields used to have the best brunch. We used to go to Fields at Water Tower Place or up in Old Orchard.
Yes.
With the
paper-thin pancakes.
Yeah, but it wasn't just pancakes.
They would
roll
them.
It was like crepes.
They were more pancakey.
But it was with this wonderful...
butter maple syrup.
Oh.
So they would roll the pancake.
Yeah, a gigantic food Jones is stomping all over the studio.
And I brought crackers tonight. That's it, buddy. Crackers. So they would take these thin pancakes and they would roll them. I'm rolling them like this.
I'm voting for pancakes when we go home this morning.
And then they put them in a vat of butter maple syrup, and then and then mimosas. It was so good. Sorry, folks, I have visions of people now scurrying to their kitchen. A clarification from a listener at 847 area code. All of the Orthodox churches are part of the Christian faith, because we were struggling with, okay, Orthodox Easter, and the Western Christian churches use a different calendar than the Orthodox Christian churches, so that is why Easter is usually observed on different dates.
So it's not the faith, it's the calendar.
And the calendar that they use.
Okay.
Yes, yes. So thank you for your explanation. I do appreciate that. And you can get to us throughout the show at 312-981-7200. Some folks are telling us about $80 and $85 brunches. You got to eat a lot of food to get $80 worth of food in your
But isn't
belly.
That kind of the norm?
It
when
is.
You go out for a major holiday brunch?
Yeah. Back to the Marshall Fields days, I think we used to grumble about it being $25 for a Sunday brunch per person.
I'm trying to think of when the last time.
But I think we ate $25
yeah.
worth of pancakes at least and drank mimosas. Oh, man. It's going to be a long night,
yeah,
Steve.
This Food Jones is stomping through the studio.
With this little pack of crackers that I've gotten. There's not even any peanut butter or cheese on the crackers. They're just plain crackers. And if you're lucky, I'll give you a glass of water to go with the crackers.
Doesn't that sound like it'd be a good group name? Just Plain Crackers.
That could be the name of this show on Saturday
Yeah, well,
night.
Yeah, there's
Just
that.
Plain Crackers. A bunch of people are checking in. We will get to our shout-outs a little bit later on. And so far, I've counted, we've got 15 states that are tuned in tonight. And we do appreciate that.
So far, 15 states, and how many countries does it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 countries so far that are checking out our blog.
Well, okay. Many of those people are saying that they are actually tuned in on their Sea Crane radio.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a nice thing. Go ahead. You look like you were...
No, I was... I was anticipating your next pithy comment.
All right, quick question. When you were growing up, did you get Easter baskets, Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you get, like, all the usual things, like chocolate bunnies and jelly beans and, oh, black jelly beans. I love them.
Fannie Mae chocolate eggs.
Oh, Fannie Mae, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But you mentioned chocolate bunnies, and my mind always goes to this one. This would have been, what, I remember Tiesel Sort was our program director at this time.
Yes.
We were back in the Tribune Tower, and there was a
Isn't she like the governor of Aruba now?
Something like that. And there was this big pool table that was outside the general manager's office.
And it had a 10-pound chocolate bunny on it.
Because somebody had sent this 10-pound chocolate bunny to the radio station.
I think it was from Long Grove Confectioners.
It might have been.
And they actually sent us a pick and a hammer with it.
So Tisa put this big bunny in the middle of the pool table, and for the next week, people would go by and whack some of the chocolate.
And you'd stand there and you'd work at it, and a paw would fall off, and you go, well, that's like a pound of chocolate. I'll just take that back to my office with me. It was a solid chocolate bunny, too.
And it was a big honking bunny.
Oh, and then they sent us a gorilla one year, and we left it in engineering.
You're right.
Remember? Because engineering was upset they had to walk back to the back of the building so that they could knock off a piece of chocolate. So they said, oh, all right, well, the next one will stay in the engineering department.
And that was back in the days when Wayne Larrivee was in the sports department, and he would walk by any food and touch all of it.
We had kind of a reputation for touching it. He'd say, now you have to eat it. And he goes, I know. I'm no dummy. You touch those three donuts. I know. So I guess I should take them, right? Yes. Oh, it's going to be a long night, Steve.
Yep.
I think I have enough crackers for...
For you, right?
Exactly.
It's going to be no cracker sharing tonight.
Julian, did you get Easter baskets when you were a little boy?
No, we weren't a big Easter family.
Really? You didn't do like a ham dinner on Easter? And
We did the food. We always do the food for every year. For
Did you do the egg coloring?
I don't think so. That doesn't ring any bells.
Because that used to be tradition. You would get these PAS, P-A-A-S, egg coloring kits.
Yes, and they're still available too.
And you would It's and, different colors, and you would put them in different
and that
cups,
goofy
and
little
you dip the eggs
that
into the
wire holder that mm-hmm. you'd lay the egg in so that you could submerge it.
And like the wax crayon so that
yes.
you could write
oh,
on them.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I always used to try and do Batman. Just well, just the Batman logo on an egg.
All right. Here's a fun if I didn't have to make all the eggs for deviled eggs, I would have done this. You take old nail polish and you take a little cup of water and you pour a little bit of nail polish and it floats on the top and then you submerge the egg and when you lift it, you get this really cool, shiny, slick and shiny once it dries. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it's okay to eat.
With nail polish? Oh, I'm sure there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Well, you didn't say peel it, so yeah, of course.
You could eat it, yeah. Because, yeah, you know, if you find an egg in the yard 3 days later, don't you eat it, right?
There's a resounding silence.
Children. We never went outside to find eggs.
You never did?
No. We were lucky if my parents decided to hide them in the house. Otherwise, they were. If you wanted to find the eggs, go. Yeah, go open the refrigerator. There they are on the top shelf. There they are. Congratulations, you found the eggs.
All yours, right?
Yeah, congratulations.
Back when they were 49 cents a dozen, so it was okay, right? I did find them reasonably priced, so. And here's an observation. We were in Florida for a month. Eggs coming out your ears every place you go. And we had left Chicago. And at that time, Jewel even had signs up that
yeah.
said, you know, we have very limited. We're working on this. Mm-hmm. And we get to Florida. And I'm like, well, what's this?
But Florida didn't. Remember, some of the stores didn't have name brand eggs. They were like.
Well, that's okay. An egg is an egg.
No, but my point is that, like, the Eggland eggs, we couldn't
yes,
find them any place
yeah,
down there.
That's true. That's very true. But then again, orange juice was $10 a quart in Florida.
Yep.
Wow. $9.99.
Because
I took
they're
a picture.
Exporting all their orange juice.
I literally took a picture standing in the Winn-Dixie because I'm like, $9.99. A jar of Miracle Whip was $11. Now, that is, yeah.
That's a miracle.
If you can afford it. Gee. Well, and we're a Miracle Whip family, too. Are you mayonnaise or Miracle Whip, Bob?
Hellman's.
Hellman's.
Yeah.
Okay. Mayonnaise or Miracle Whip, Julie?
Oh, we've had this discussion. Mm-hmm. I eat real mayonnaise, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Ron, mayonnaise or
that
Miracle Whip?
That explains a lot, Julie.
Yeah, Hellman's. Hellman's.
You, too?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, guys.
It's just more habit than anything.
Yeah, it is. It's how you're raised.
Yeah, it's not like I could go shopping around for mayonnaise.
Well, I think friends have food and they go, oh, this is really good. And I'm like, I'm not telling them it's Miracle Whip because they were raised on mayonnaise. And they're going to go, oh, no. Down south, it's, oh, no, it's not Duke's mayonnaise. Well, we can't eat that. Well, good. More for us. Right, Steve?
Yes.
Yeah. We've got a lot that we're going to do tonight. Our buddy Jessica Radloff has a brand new project she's going to tell us about.
Yeah, this is very cool.
Yes. She's a busy, busy girl, too. So we got a lot to cover with Jessica.
And a little later tonight, Robbie Folks will be joining us, and Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And we will remember a very special evening and a special man. We will remember Wink Martindale a little later tonight.
And we will celebrate 420 Day.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool, the autotrophs began to drool, Neanderthals developed tools, we built a wall. We built the pyramids, math, science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with a Big Bang.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, the Big Bang Theory theme, and that can mean only one thing.
That's right. Our buddy Jessica Radloff joins us to talk about a new project. As we jokingly say every time Jessica joins us, we forced her to sit down for a few minutes because if she's not on the red carpet, she's watching TV, she's writing, but now she's got a new project. Jessica, how are you tonight?
Hi, Johnny. Hi, Steve. Do you know how long I've been wanting to tell you about this new project for months? I was like, I think I would tease it at sometimes, being like,
yes,
there might be something to talk about soon.
Yes.
I'm like, when can I finally talk about this? So
yes,
I'm glad to finally be talking about it.
You are now the host of the official Big Bang Theory podcast, streaming on Max and wherever you get your podcast.
Are you a kid in a candy store now?
You know, I am actually, when I go to Warner Brothers to record the podcast, because the array of snacks that they have there, I mean, this is no joke. They have like hard-boiled eggs in little packages with salt and pepper packets, and then they have all of the popcorn you want and chips and yogurt and string cheese. So I really am like a kid in a candy store when I go there. I kid you not. I bring a small cooler and I load up on snacks, and it is my favorite part of the day.
So this has been a couple of weeks since you launched the new podcast. Can you take us back to how all of this transpired? Yes, you have the best-selling book. You have the definitive book on the Big Bang Theory. How did the podcast come about?
Well, it was a couple months before the book came out. So this was like August 2022, and I was having lunch with some of the Warner Brothers television publicists, and one said to me, could you think of any possible podcast that would be great for us to do? And I think I thought she was maybe kidding, because I thought the answer was obvious, but I was like, yes, the Big Bang Theory, like, huh, I have the book coming out and all that. And she was like, that's actually a really good idea, let me see what I can do and put you in touch. And she did, and then I had a meeting, and I mean, this is already 2.5 years ago, so mm-hmm, that's how long it has taken to get this off the ground. And we recorded a pilot episode 2 years ago this month with Steve Holland, who was one of the showrunners and EPs, and that was really fun. And then, of course, you know, you go out and sell it, you know, and Max stepped in with Warner Brothers, which was so amazing. And then we started recording, and it, you know, it takes a long time, and I was so excited to do it, but also I didn't want to get ahead of myself, because you're like, okay, I'll believe it when it comes to fruition. And it took this long, but the fact that it's finally here, it still doesn't feel real. It's crazy. The day I was in the studio recording the trailer for it and saying, you know, that it's, you know, Warner Brothers, you know, unscripted podcast in partnership with Max. And I'm like, God, how lucky I am that I get to say those words. Like, uh-huh, it's not lost on me. So that's how it really came about, was just from a lunch and the book. And then, you know, just, we obviously went to Chuck Lorre to get his, you know, blessing and permission to do it. And it was kind of off to the races, but that's the very simple version, because it's a lot of work that it takes to make something like this come to life.
What does it say about the popularity of the Big Bang Theory that here you have a series that is over, yes, in reruns, yeah, but it is, uh-huh, the series is now being streamed all over the planet. The book, yeah, is, the book is selling in countries all over the place, and now you have just launched a podcast that will be going on for the foreseeable future. What does this say about the, yeah, popularity of the Big Bang Theory?
I mean, it basically says it's not going anywhere. And when we were recording some of the episodes for the podcast late last year, we got the news that The Big Bang Theory was the most streamed show of 2024, which was just, it was both crazy, but also like, well, yeah, that kind of makes sense. And it just made us happier that we were finally doing the podcast, because, you know, it's like there's still such a need for this. And there was never any audio DVD commentary on the DVDs for the show.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of like the chance to have a DVD commentary for every episode. And it's actually what I wanted to do when I was writing the book. I really wanted to sit down with everybody and rewatch these episodes and get into the nitty gritty and the specifics. But because of COVID and we were at the height of it, we couldn't do that. So getting to do this now, it's really rewarding and it's really fun to watch the actors and the writers rewatch it and then get to talk about it through fresh eyes. And the fact that they just watched it, because a lot of them haven't watched it in 15 years. So, you know, that's really cool and it's really fun.
Now, the show ended in 19, right?
Yes. So 6 years ago.
So about 6 years ago, And you literally spent hours interviewing cast members for your book. I mean, hundreds of hours went into your research for it. How do you decide who you're going to talk to for your podcast?
It's really hard, to be honest, because you want so many people for one particular episode, and you really can't have more than one person on. We bended that rule a bit for the unaired pilot, which was our first podcast episode, because we had Chuck Lorre on with Peter Roth, who was the chairman of Warner Brothers Television, and that was great because that helped it come together. And in fact, Kunal Nair, who played Raj, he's going to be on an episode in a couple weeks, and we already recorded his episode, and when we were done, Kunal was like, we should really do one of you, me, and Simon, who played Wolowitz. And I was like, yes, we should. So, you know, that's the hard thing, is like getting more than one person in there, because there's so many things to talk about. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we wanted somebody in particular for an episode. They weren't available. You know, with, for instance, episode 5, which, you know, this actually worked out well. The episode that is coming up this coming Monday, originally we were going to have Andrew Wyman, the director of the episode, do it. And then Andrew's house tragically burned down in the Los Angeles fires. And he was unable to come in and do it. But it was also one of the most memorable episodes for Sarah Gilbert, who played Leslie Winkle on the show. And Sarah did me a huge favor, because I was like, oh my God, I would love to get her on. Because I also didn't interview Sarah for the book. That was what was great about this podcast, is I could finally talk to people that I didn't get to for the book, which I know is shocking when the book is over 500 pages.
Yes.
But, you know, Sarah did me a huge favor, because she doesn't do a ton of press. And I've known her for years, going back to The Talk on CBS, when I would go on that show, and she was so kind and so lovely, and it's one of her favorite episodes. It's an iconic one for Leonard and Leslie fans. So she's coming on this Monday's episode, and it was such a treat to finally get to talk to her and ask her the questions that so many people have been wanting to know all these years that we just didn't have the answers to yet. So, you know, so it's a tricky thing with the booking at times, because you do want to get certain people and you just don't know how it's going to work out or what the puzzle pieces are. But I think, and I hope, we did a really good job with assigning episodes to certain actors and writers and directors to have them talk about some really memorable moments.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever find, as you're talking with one of the principals from the show, and they're going over a particular episode or a plot thread, as they're looking at it through kind of new eyes from a distance, are there ever things that they are surprised at?
Oh, yeah, because a lot of times they haven't, like I said, they haven't seen these episodes in so long. Christine Baranski is going to come on her first episode, and that was such a treat, because she was literally, we were watching scenes together as we did the podcast, and she was just laughing hysterically, and I couldn't even, like, I couldn't even get a word in, because she was laughing so much at herself as Beverly, and I was just like, this is the greatest thing ever. Like, I don't even need to do anything except just watch her laugh at herself. And that was so fun. And, you know, like I said, Kunal Nair played Raj. He'll be on in a few weeks. And, you know, having him watch some of these episodes, he comes with a new perspective for some of these scenes that he had either forgotten about or didn't realize. And it's just really cool to see that.
We're talking with one of our favorite people, Jessica Radloff, host of the official Big Bang Theory podcast, now streaming on Max and wherever you get your podcasts. By the way, she's also the New York Times bestselling author of the book, The Big Bang Theory, the definitive inside story of the epic hit series. It's a shame you don't care much about The Big Bang Theory, Jessica.
Say, like, God, I sound like a failure without the Big Bang Theory.
No, as I said at the outset, we like to get you on the program to force you to sit down so that you can rest a little bit.
It is so, I mean, literally, I owe my career now to Chuck Lorre and Steve Molaro, because I truly, like, they've given me such amazing gifts by letting me do the things that they've they've helped create in terms of the book and the podcast. And I mean, I'm just so grateful.
Well,
and to Warner Brothers, because I get the snack. So, you know, let's be honest, too.
Isn't there another thing at play here? And I'm going to go back to one of the biggest compliments I ever had years ago. This is long before your time. I don't know if you remember Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. Burr Tilstrom.
Say that again.
Kukla, Fran.
Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. Burr Tilstrom.
Kukla.
No.
No.
Oh, boy.
Oh, your parents will know.
Oh,
though.
Yeah.
I bet you.
Your mom and dad are going to wave some fingers at you. I will send you a link. Long story short, Kukla, Fran, and Ollie was one of the pioneering TV shows. It came out of Chicago. Burr Tilstrom was a puppeteer, and he manipulated Kukla and Ollie, and they had a Fran Allison who was a live host on the show. Anyhow, I had him on the show, and I was interviewing him, and I had asked him previously to doing the show if there was any chance that he could do the voices of the character. And he said, no, he said, I really don't like to do that.
Yeah.
And as we're talking, I was talking about something, and I was looking down at the time, and he answered me in the voice of one of the characters. And I didn't I did not look back up at him, and I engaged in a conversation with this character. Where I'm going with this was, he trusted me enough to do that. Was there a point when you realized that you had earned the trust of the people involved with the Big Bang Theory? That is why they are so supportive of you.
That is very sweet of you. And yes, I think when I first went to Chuck and Steve to ask permission to explore doing a Big Bang Theory book, and they said, yes, you're the only one that could do it. That was the biggest, you know, gift they could have given me and the biggest vote of confidence. And, you know, when Chuck and Steve are behind something, you know, that's all you have to say to anybody, to the cast, to whoever it is, for them to then be like, well, of course, if Chuck and Steve are all for this, then absolutely. And of course, you know, listen, I knew a lot of the actors, so that was easy too. But, you know, there's a lot of people along the way that, you know, I didn't know. And it was because of Chuck having faith in me that these other people said, absolutely, yeah. I will talk to you. I will do it. And that means everything is to have that trust. And it's also why when the book first, you know, came to be a possibility, I told my literary agent, I will not do this unless Chuck and Steve are on board, because my reputation is everything. And if they're not interested, then it's dead in the water.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody's like that. Some people will still write a book if they don't have the participation and blessing of creators or writers or cast. And, you know, they have to do what's right for them. But for me, I was like, there will be no book if they're not on board. You know, so that's, I just don't know how you tell a story without, you know, the actual people talking about, you know, their own experiences. So, yeah, it's something that is never lost on me, and I'm very grateful for it. And I'm glad that in your case, Steve, that you got to hear that that voice. Also, isn't it, it's so interesting to me, because this happens on the podcast, too. You'll have an actor come on, and they're so known for either a voice they do or an accent or something, and you just want them to do it for you because it's such a fun trip down memory lane. And normally they're good sports, but you'll occasionally get somebody who doesn't want to do something. You're like, oh, damn it. Like, you know, come on, do it for the fans. But but I'm glad you got that chance, because, it, you know, when people can hear something that's iconic to them, or it is, it's meaningful, it goes a long way. It really does.
Agreed. Well, I'm looking at text coming in. I love The Big Bang Theory. I watch it every day. Even though I've seen all the shows, it's still funny. It's still entertaining. The whole cast is great, and the guest stars were too. You mentioned Christine Baranski, one of my favorites from the show. But my other favorite character, because I've lived with a comic book collector for 40 plus years.
What are you trying to say?
Kevin Sussman as Stuart Bloom, the owner and operator of the comic book store. Is it true that he has his own show that's coming out? What do you hear about that?
Yes, Kevin Sussman, who played Stuart Bloom, comic book store owner, is one of the nicest most down-to-earth, most honorable people you will ever meet. If you have read the book, you will know why, because he did something early on in the series that was truly the definition of being a mensch and incredible. But he's also just such a wonderful, wonderful guy. He could not deserve his own show more. There is a spinoff in the works at Max. It's called Stuart Fails to Save the Universe. It is from Chuck Lorre and Bill Prady, who, of course, co-created Big Bang. And in addition to Kevin, it is John Ross Bowie, who played Kripke on the show, who will also be a guest coming up on the podcast. And he did the voice for us.
Oh, good.
That was one thing I was like, please tell me you'll do the voice of Kripke and teach me. And he did, and he's wonderful. I adore him. Also, you have Lauren Lapkus, who played Denise, Stewart's love interest, and a few other familiar faces. Bert, the character of Bert, who will be on it as well. But I have to temper that by also saying that it hasn't officially been picked up yet to series. They are currently in development. They've had an unofficial table read. I can't imagine it won't be, but they're still in the early stages. So, but you can't get this far in the process for a show this popular with characters so popular without it getting out. Mm-hmm. So it is in development at Max. They do have a tentative title. They do have certain cast members withholding deals. And right now we just have to wait and see what else comes of it. So,
oh, come on. Chuck Lorre's behind it. My money is it's a go.
That's my money's on it too. But absolutely. You know, that's the company line right now that we you know, it's in development. So we'll see. But I mean, at this point everybody knows too much about it that it's like we're gonna have to see this.
Yes, film. Yes.
One of the many hats Jessica wears is that of also being the senior West Coast editor at Glamour magazine. And Jessica, if we can, I'd like to take you in a different direction for a second, because you posted something on your Facebook page, and it was an article you did in Glamour, and Johnny and I immediately thought, we have to talk to you about this. The article title was, When Did Prestige TV Get This Grim?
So what inspired you to go in that direction? Because let me tell you, I read it. I was in one part of the house. Steve was in the other part. We met in the middle and went, oh, my gosh. Yes. How often do we say this?
And should I back up for a second to give you the where we were at, where our mindset was? One of our favorite shows is Tracker. We were watching Tracker last week. We both had to stop about 15 minutes into the show and say, no, we'll come back to this later. And we both realized, in part, it's because of the reality that we're all dealing with in 2025 of what's going on in our country and some of the strange things that are happening. And we just didn't want to see a TV show
that was intense,
as grim and as intense as this was.
And then along came your article the other day, and we went, yes. So take us to what inspired you to sit down at your keyboard and write this wonderful article. And you can tell by the reaction to it that a lot of people went, oh, thank goodness I'm not the only one that feels this way.
Well, that is very sweet of you. I was a little scared to write it, only because I didn't want to shame any of the terrific shows that are on network TV or cable or streaming that are difficult in their subject matter. Mm-hmm. I didn't want them to feel like, well, we're making some great TV, like, just suck it up and deal with, you know, like, sometimes TV is hard to watch. That wasn't it at all. It all stemmed from the fact that earlier this year, you know, obviously, it was a really hard start to the year. You go back to the 1st of January, where that awful incident took place in New Orleans, and so many innocent people lost their lives. And then we had the LA fires. And then on a personal note, I was going through a breast cancer scare, which thank God turned out to be benign. But as I was going through all this weeks of testing, my apartment was burglarized and totally ransacked. And it was just, it was almost like, you have got to be kidding me. What is happening? And the night that my place was broken into, and it was not just broken into, I mean, they went crazy on the place and destroyed it. I couldn't sleep, obviously, and I needed to watch something on TV, but I there was so much that I couldn't watch. Even a Friends rerun was too hard for me mm-hmm. to watch. And that sounds crazy, but I ended up just flipping channels and found Cheers, which was a show that I was too young to watch growing up. But at this point, in the middle of the night, there was something so comforting about it. You know, these were amazing characters, but nothing was so over the top where mm-hmm. you're like, okay, like, calm down, people. You know, it was very rooted in these characters and who they were, and character-driven humor, and it was the only thing that I could keep on that night to keep me somewhat calm. And mm-hmm. in the days after that, you know, I could not watch the news. That was too disturbing and upsetting to me with everything going on in the world right now. I could not watch the typical Grey's Anatomy or SVU. And I also didn't want to keep watching reruns of shows that I had loved. I was like, where are the shows that truly are prestige TV? I'm not talking, you know, like, yes, The Bear is considered a comedy in, you know, the awards circuit, but it's not a comedy. That stresses me out. So where are the shows like the Nobody Wants This of Netflix? You know, mm-hmm. where are the shows like Shrinking on Apple that truly make me feel happy mm-hmm. and don't stress me out to the point where I'm going to lose my mind? So that's really where the story idea came from, is life is hard enough, and I don't want my TV watching to be equally as hard. I want to be able to sit down with something that allows me to escape and feels good and is lighthearted, but it's also a really smart show. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of shows out there that are comedies, but they're not great. And we know what those shows are. You know, so I want something that we're all talking about and that is really witty and smart and wonderful. But it also leaves you feeling like the world is not falling apart. Mm-hmm. So that's what inspired me to write it and also say, like, hey, to the networks and the streamers, what are you going to do about this going forward? Because a lot of people are feeling the same way. Yep. A lot of people are saying, I can't watch the rest of Severance. It's too crazy for me. Adolescence is a tremendous limited series, but it is not easy to watch. And, you know, I think, thank goodness for the success of shows like Nobody Wants This, or even The Summer I Turned Pretty, which comes back on Prime Video this summer. It shows that people love to watch and talk about, and it's just easy. And I think we need to be okay with saying, like, we need that. We don't need to see yes. the grim and the dark all the time. And we should demand more of the shows that actually do bring smiles to our faces.
And yet you walk such a fine line, because as you said at the outset, you don't want to limit the creativity of some of the very serious, sometimes grim series that are yeah. on TV. And yet reality is reality, and you need a little mind candy. And I'm almost, I'll go back to, this is long before any of us were here, back during the Depression, and mm-hmm. it was 1929, the stock market crash, and movies started gaining an incredible audience because people needed something to take their minds off the reality that was going on right now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I wonder, taking it back to the Big Bang Theory, I wonder if one of the reasons for the continuing and improving success of Big Bang reruns is people need a little mind candy to get their minds away from the
whatever.
Stuff we're dealing with right
yeah.
now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's also why, you know, you have a series like Young Sheldon, which mm-hmm. was
yes.
one of the most popular shows also of last year. People want to find smart, great television that just isn't leaving you feeling helpless. And it's not so easy to find. I think also a lot of networks and streamers and, you know, cable networks also felt that the darker, more, I don't want to say more depressing the show, but the darker shows were what was winning them awards and getting them noticed.
Yeah,
and
right.
And I get it. I absolutely get it. And again, not to take away from those shows. They are some wonderful shows out there. But after what I had gone through personally, I was like, I can't do this to myself. Mm-hmm. I need to surround myself with as much light
yes.
as I possibly can.
Yes.
Because it's been hard this year, and you know, I'm so thankful that I've gotten out of it okay, but so many haven't, and so many are still yeah. going through things, and that's why these shows like Big Bang and, you know, Friends, you keep seeing them at the top of the streaming charts because people need that. And you know, it's funny too, I just did an interview yesterday with the costume designer for Miss Congeniality because the movie is going to be celebrating 25 years this December. And, you know, we were like, they don't really make movies like that anymore. Like, what is it that it's hard to find those kinds of films? And, you know, it's there's a reason we always go back to it and we watch it and we want to know which movies are going to reappear on Netflix this month or what's being taken off so we can watch it again. You know, we just need more happiness, and I do think that a lot of the streamers and the networks are aware of that, you know, seeing how hard this year has been for so many.
I just want to recommend a show that we came across and fell in love with it. I hope that other people have discovered it. It's finished for this season. It looks like it's going to come back. Good Cop, Bad Cop on the CW.
Wonderful.
It's delightful. It's funny.
It's smart.
People who remember Leighton Meester from Gossip Girl, she's
yes.
the star of this. It's just, it's a delight. So, again, if you're looking for something, you can go back and you can find this streaming because it had its 8 episodes. And, you know, nowadays you don't get the numbers like you used to get for
right.
maybe a show like a Big Bang. But it
right.
did pretty well for the CW, so I'd like to recommend
yeah.
that.
Speaking of the CW,
yes,
not a comedy,
yeah,
but something that we saw this week, it just premiered.
Oh, yeah.
Have you watched Sherlock and
Daughter?
Wow, is it good?
No, I haven't, but
I've
heard of it.
Gosh. It is really great escapism because it is so well done. It looks like a movie quality.
Brilliantly cast.
Wow.
Yes.
Wonderful directing.
And the sets and, I mean, the costumes, everything. This was not inexpensive. And this whole idea that Sherlock Holmes had a daughter is a new twist. We've not seen that before. And she's a delightful American who comes, you know, stomping into London looking like the ugly American.
Yeah.
And it's delightful. It really is.
Yeah.
I know you have a ton of things to watch, but absolutely check that out.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
But back to the subject of lighthearted TV for a second. One of our new favorite characters is on George and Mandy's First Wedding.
Oh, Connor. Is
he's wonderful.
There was
Dougie Baldwin.
A couple of weeks ago, there was an episode where he was featured. We saved that episode. It was so good.
He now has a girlfriend, and we love it.
It was so good.
I was actually at that episode taping, and it was really fun to see it. It was a wonderful, wonderful episode. The character of Connor, it's great. You know, there's some certain Sheldon qualities to him a little bit, but he's also still very different. And, you know, it's nice to see, again, one of the reasons that Big Bang and Young Sheldon succeeded so much is because you've had characters who you really hadn't seen on television before.
True.
And Connor is that type of character where, you know, he's very smart and, you know, very observant. But he marches to the beat of his own drum, and there's nothing
literally
wrong with that. If anything, it should be celebrated. So, you know, it's great. And that episode that you're referring to where he meets, you know, this girl, well, he's known this girl at the music store to explore, you know, more of a deeper friendship with her. It really it's so great. And there's more great episodes with them to come.
Oh, God.
I was on set for the finale, too. So I'll just say don't miss it, because okay. there's some really exciting things and fun guest stars. And, I agree with you.
Wow. Oh, that's funny. As soon as you said this, Steve, we've had text came on. Connor is great. Oh, we love Connor. Oh, I love Georgie and Mandy. It's so funny. It was like we finally got to the thing that people are loving.
Yes, no, that is, it's so fun to be there. And again,
oh,
I know I totally sound biased, you know, because it is the Big Bang family. But Montana Jordan, who plays Georgie, is the nicest guy. Yes, he does speak like that. Yes, it's amazing. I love him so much. And, you know, it's just everybody involved with it. Like, they're kind of family to me because I've known him for so long. But, yeah, and also here's a fun fact. But Dougie Baldwin, who plays Connor, he's Australian in real life.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's really wild to talk to him because you're like, whoa, what is going on here? You know? But he's so great. And I wish I knew the name of the actor that plays his girlfriend on the show. I'm blanking on it right now, but she's fantastic too. And that whole cast, they're just so wildly talented. And
yes.
I can't wait for you to see the next few episodes.
Oh, good. You tease.
And who is it really does end on such a strong note going into season two.
Who is the actor that plays the father? I love him.
Will Sasso.
Oh, is he good?
He was on Mom, which is another Chuck Lorre show, and he's phenomenal. And, of course, he was on Young Sheldon for the last couple seasons.
Right.
And now, you know, on Georgie and Mandy's First Marriage. And he and Rachel Bay Jones, you know, she plays the mom, Audrey. She is fantastic, too. But, yeah, I adore them both. Will is great. He's been in the Chuck universe for a while, and he always brings it.
Mm. Well, it's always fun to talk to you because you always bring it. And are you at home with the family in St. Louis?
I went home to St. Louis for Passover and my birthday. I was at the Masters, which was really fun.
Driving a Mercedes. Hello.
I know. Well, thank you to Mercedes-Benz because they took me to the Masters and they had me drive this Maybach from the Atlanta, Georgia airport to Augusta.
Oh.
And I'm telling you, I have never driven a car that cost more than like $60,000. So driving a $220,000 car to Augusta, Georgia, I did go to a McDonald's along the way because I just thought this is really funny to be pulling into a McDonald's in a $220,000 car. I don't know how I'm ever supposed to go back to driving any other car because Mercedes-Benz is not paying me to say this, but the Maybach, this is the greatest thing about it. I went to Starbucks and I got an iced latte, and they have in the console where you put your drinks, there's a button to keep your drink cold.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then you have one, you can heat it up. And it's like the back seat is like being in one of those pods in business class on an airplane. It's unreal. I mean, I don't know how I'm supposed to drive anything else now.
Oh.
And then this is the other craziest thing that Mercedes let me do is I got to take one of their G-Wagons and drive it down Magnolia Lane into Augusta National Golf Club, where the golfers themselves and the members get to drive down. I got to drive the G-Wagon down Magnolia Lane as if I was like golfing there. And I just kept, and of course you cannot film any of it because they don't allow photos or cameras or phones or anything.
Right.
I am dying. I'm like, how is anybody going to believe me when I tell them I did this? And it was crazy. I'm going to have to name my firstborn child after Mercedes-Benz now because they gave me such a gift to go to the Masters. And I told them I need to come back every year now. I will do craft services for you. I will offer to be someone's assistant. I know it's not a TV show, so I don't know why I said I'll do craft services, but I'll do anything for them because I was like, this is amazing. And it was incredible. And I also got to meet Roger Federer when I was there and Caitlin Clark. And it was just wild, but
yes, a great birthday.
We're driving a Maybach into McDonald's and you know, ordering a Happy Meal.
You somehow forgot to tell Mercedes that while you were driving the Maybach that you popped a few wheelies with it, too,
right? Yes, right. Surprise!
Well, no, I mean, when I tell you, I was like, oh, my God, like, stay so far away from the car in front of you, you know, like,
hey,
drive it so carefully.
Girl, I'm in awe of the fact that you drove through Atlanta in that car. That just blows me away. Well, again, it is so fun to catch up with you every time we have that opportunity. And congratulations on your latest project. And we look forward to your podcast and getting you back on the radio with us. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, guys. It's so fun to be with you always, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of the weekend, and I'm glad that the weather is hopefully starting to warm up
yes.
there for you.
Come see us in Chicago sometime, okay?
I will.
All right.
I will.
Take care, hon.
We'll get there eventually.
Thanks, Jessica.
Bye-bye now.
And again, you should check out the official Big Bang Theory podcast, now streaming on Max and wherever you get your podcasts. So, it's always fun to talk with her. We got a lot more coming up. Stay with us at WGN.
Sitting on the front porch, face toward the hill, trail of years behind me, and a night ahead to kill. One glass of whiskey to ease my mind, and another one to take it too far away to find. Staring up at the mountain like to drive me mad. The mountain never changes, so I guess I better had one glass of whiskey to ease my mind, and another one to take it too far away to find.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love that. That is so good.
And you don't even drink whiskey.
No, but I've
not. Really
makes me want
it.
To.
Yes, yes. All right. So that is a guy that you think, oh, well, sure, he's hardcore bluegrass. Oh, no, you don't know Robbie Foulkes, and he's our guest. And Robbie Foulkes, can you believe that we go back about 30 years talking to you on the radio?
Is it really that far?
Yes.
Yes.
62 years old or something.
We were all just babies back then. Steve and I were talking about the first time you did our show, and
which was somewhere in
the mid-90s,
yeah.
Yeah, that's right. And here we are. It's been years since I've talked to you at all. And
I
do remember that Johnny is the one with a higher pitched voice.
That's right. Well, you know what, Robbie? We look the same on the radio. That's the beauty of radio. So,
I want to say that the last time we talked to you was when you were in town to do a New Year's show
at Fitzgerald's. Yes. And you did New Year's this year at Fitzgerald's, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm still doing, I do two end-of-year shows over there now, and as long as we're talking about shows, I'm doing two coming up at Space in Evanston
yes.
in about a week here.
Yep, so. On Friday and Saturday night, you're going to be at Space, our favorite place, along with Fitzgerald's, two of the best places in town.
And in fact, we haven't really talked, since we haven't talked to you forever, we haven't talked about this, but in our minds, Space is one of the best listening rooms in the Midwest. Would you agree with that?
I would say the United States. I think it's one of my two or three favorite places to play in the whole country. And I mean, a lot of the reason is that when you go there, there's a really comfortable green room and they give you good food to eat for free.
Yeah, what is that?
That's got nothing to do with the audience experience. But I think for the audience that it's good too. The sound is good. The room is a real nice, intimate size. And the people that work there are like, they're like normal people. They're not jerky people, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good place to hang out.
Yeah. Well, you know that you will always be Chicago's own Robbie Foulkes, even though you picked up and you moved to the left coast. And that was before COVID, right? That was back in 19 that you moved out west?
Exactly right. You guys are like the Boswell to my Samuel Johnson. We moved when our youngest son graduated from high school. We thought, well, we can try some other place now. Maybe we'll try a place that has easier weather, and mm-hmm. that for sure Los Angeles has. Nothing against Chicago, but we get about 3 months of crappy weather in L.A., and somewhat more in Chicago, right?
Yes. Well, but you did, I'm just assuming, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are still married to the ever-talented and adorable Donna, who is an incredibly popular voice artist, and I would imagine that was helpful for her to move out to the West Coast, too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I haven't been able to get away from Donna, still married to her. And her agency has offices all over. So, yeah, they're located in L.A. as well. And so that worked out for her. And it's actually not a terrible place to be a country musician. You know, there's not a lot of us there, but that makes you stand out a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like people appreciate country music in big cities kind of a lot, you know. It's kind of I can't speak for everybody, but I think that it's just soothing to hear something that's kind of genuine and twangy and heartfelt in an urban environment.
Speaking of country music, I don't know if we ever told you, but you have the singular distinction of having recorded the most beeped song that we've ever played on this radio station when you did a song that was expressing your feelings about Nashville, and one of our engineers, Bob Ferguson, went through and
beeped.
Every single time you uttered the F-bomb, he beeped it, so we were able to legally play it on the air, and it was hilarious.
That's wonderful. Yeah, you guys stand proud and tall having the nerve to do that.
Yes, because, you know, you could fill in the blanks as you were listening to the song. And I want to say, too, for people who are just meeting you, Robbie, on the phone, on the radio, as I said at the outset, listening to your song, One Glass of Whiskey, they might assume, oh, well, he's a bluegrass dude. But you wear so many hats. I mean, I can recall the first time we talked to you, you were country love songs. Then you had a hillbilly, hardcore hillbilly stint. And then I remember you did Billie Jean one night and blew us away.
One of the best versions of Billie Jean anyone has ever recorded,
yes,
or ever will record.
So do you wake up and say, today I'm hillbilly, and yesterday I was country?
It's confusing. I mean, if you look at my thing from over the last 40 years, over the long term, I would say the simplest way to describe it is, like, I did the hillbilly thing for a while, and I made a break kind of in the late aughts, I would say, 08 or 09, and I decided I was losing some hearing, I was getting older, and I wanted to do something kind of simpler and more acoustic, and that's mostly what I've kind of tuned to over the last however long that is, over the last 17 years. And you know, sometimes that's interpretable as bluegrass. That last album that I did is all bluegrass, and more of the time it's just I would say it's acoustic, you know. It's kind of folky, and it's like stringed instruments into microphones, and I love it.
Well, you are a great instrumentalist. It all started with banjo for you, right?
Exactly. You guys know way too much about
me. You know, you've forgotten how many times we've talked to you on the radio, Robbie. How many New Year's Eves we've talked to you.
All the other times I've been down there in your presence and have loved it. You guys are a great blessing to the Chicago radio world. You guys are just the best it is, and I miss laying eyes upon you.
Oh, well, I miss bringing key lime pie to you because it always warmed you up.
This is true.
Yes, one of your favorites. Robbie, can we ask you to sit tight for just a bit? We're going to take a break.
Either sit tight or hang
loose. Whatever
works.
For you. Yes.
You bet.
Robbie Foulkes is our guest, and he is in town. He's at Space in Evanston. And if you haven't been to Space, this is a perfect time for you to get tickets to see him either Friday or Saturday night coming up. Robbie Foulkes, we'll be right back with him here on WGN.
She was more like a beauty queen from a movie screen. I said, I don't know, what do you mean? I am the one who danced on the floor in the round. She told me her name was Billie Jean. She caused a scene. Then every head turned with eyes that dreamed of being the one who dance on the floor and around. People always told me, be careful of what you do. Don't go around breaking young girls' hearts. And mother always told me, be careful of who you love and look out for what you do, because the line comes the truth.
Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, and he is the one. He is Robbie Foulkes.
And he's the same guy that you heard a few minutes ago singing One Glass of Whiskey. As I said, it's really hard to peg him. Grammy nominated for both folk and roots music, right, Robbie?
Yeah, well, I'm not exactly that same guy. That was recorded like 22 years ago, and I can't hit a couple of those notes anymore.
That's okay.
Although the spoken word part, I can do in a deeper voice now, for sure. I like, you've always told me, be careful of what you do. You know, that can go.
Ooh, that's a little creepier.
Thank you.
That's kind of your Lauren Green approach.
Yes.
But by the way, we mentioned that you're going to be at Space. Let's also mention for our listeners up in Wisconsin that April 24th, you're going to be in Madison, Wisconsin at Kiki's, and then April 25th and 26th in Evanston at Space.
That's right. And I don't know if you guys have, you probably have listeners in Michigan, right?
Of course.
Oh, sure.
We have 17 states that have tuned in and checked in tonight.
Oh, well, unfortunately, I'm not going to be in Puerto Rico. Can't do that. But the Michigan shows are, let me think, Sunday, which is what, the 27th, I think?
Right, in Kalamazoo.
Kalamazoo and the 28th in Traverse City. And the one you mentioned in Madison is sold out. And I think the Space shows have, like, 10 shares a piece on both nights. So it's pretty slim, but I'd love to sell it out. So
yeah, absolutely. I was also looking at your schedule, and it took me back to when I first met you. I was excited because I found out that you started out in a band that I followed throughout the 70s and into the 80s, Special Consensus Bluegrass Band. And they're celebrating their 50th anniversary, and they're on tour.
Are indeed. They just recorded a 50th anniversary record, and I'm one of several alumni that performed on that. I played guitar and sang on a couple songs, and the music turned out great. I'm not sure when the record comes out, but pretty soon.
And they're touring the very same day you're touring in the area, so you should just jump over to their concert, too.
Oh, really? Are they working this next weekend?
Yes, they are. Yeah, yeah. So they've got
to
be.
We won't say where because we don't want to direct people to mine.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Well, when you come back to Chicago, are there any must do things or must go to places, whether it's for a hot dog or a baseball game or whatever?
That's a good question. And a couple restaurants are favorites, but mainly. It's a corny answer, but mainly it's people. You know, it's my grandsons, and it's
Wait, hold it, tilt.
Grandsons?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've got an 11-year-old grandson and a 4-year-old grandson that live in Edison Park with my son.
Oh my gosh.
And my son and his wife, I can take or leave, but the grandsons are great with it.
Have they seen you perform?
Oh, the grandkids, yeah.
Yeah. Do they think it's cool or weird, or do you get a fix on it?
I think they're just used to it, you know. Like, especially the 11-year-old has been coming to see me since he was, you know, one. And I'm like, hey, Logan, I wrote a song about you. It's going to be on my next album. He's like, oh, that's nice. You know, it's like, it's not that special. It's just something that grandpa does.
Now, your two boys, one is a musician, right?
I've got three boys, and the middle one is a drummer for a band called Mama, M-O-M-M-A, and they're doing great right now. They just played the the Jimmy Kimmel Show a couple weeks ago.
We saw that.
Yeah, they were terrific.
Weren't they good?
Yeah.
I just missed it up, just sitting in the audience and watching that happen and thinking about the road that he's been on since he was 14 and started on the drum kit up there at the School of Rock in Evanston.
Yeah.
And it was just, it just made me kind of shaky to think about all that happened in his life.
How cool.
And so the one son is into music, and that's your middle son. And what?
Yeah, and then the oldest son, who is the Edison Park guy, he's a pilot for United. And the youngest guy, I'm here in Las Vegas with right now, actually, he coaches volleyball, and there's a tournament here that he's doing. So they're all in, like, completely different, both geographically different areas of the country, and the lines of work are, like, couldn't be more unalike.
Really? But it sounds like you've done good, Robbie. You did. Who needs Grammys? You got three great kids and grandkids now.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
Well, are there any new albums that you're working on?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I've got a new one coming out in September, and I'm excited about it. We just finished mixing it, and then it goes to mastering, and like I said, it'll be out in the fall. And how do you describe it? I would say, like, Americana. Is that a word that means anything to people?
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot of drums on it, a lot of bass guitar as opposed to upright bass, which is usually my thing. A lot of electric guitar, some violin, accordion, a lot of keyboards. So it's a pretty big sound, and it's got some players people might know. Maybe I should drop a couple names.
Sure,
go for it.
Pete Thomas, who plays drums for the Attractions, Elvis Costello's band.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got Jay Bellarose, who drums for Robert Plant and Alison Krauss, among other people.
Mm-hmm.
On the bass guitar is Paul Bryan, who works with Amy Mann and is a producer of a lot of people. It's got Duke Levine, who plays with Bonnie Raitt, and he plays electric guitar. Kevin Berry, who works with Roseanne Cash and Jackson Brown. And so I feel like that's enough names to drop. But the band is like... fantastic. Bunch of old dudes, mostly, like myself.
Well, can we con you into, when the album comes out, can we do an album release party on the air?
We better had. Yeah, that sounds great.
Let's do it. Where we can play the cuts and you can talk about the inspiration for the songs, and that'll be fun. Let's do it for sure in the fall.
And if there's any way we could con you into being in studio, that'll be even better.
Even better. Even more better.
Well, yeah. I think I'm coming there. Let me think now. I'm working at the Old Town School of Music, I think, in October, so maybe we can sort of coordinate with that.
Oh, that would be awesome. Well, good. Again, I just checked, and you're right. There's just a couple of seats left for your shows on Friday and Saturday at Space in Evanston, and by the time we're done, those will be gone, too. So, folks,
yes.
If you're interested in seeing Robbie, you better grab those seats unless you could get up to Madison on Thursday. So this is your Midwest tour, and then you're going to go to Kalamazoo on Sunday the 27th, Traverse City, Michigan on Monday the 28th. It's great to have you back here in the Midwest. When you moved out west, I looked at Steve and I said, oh, the boy's...
Our life is done.
The boy's changed. He's changed. But he didn't change you. That's good. You enjoyed it. I think you settled in out on the West Coast, didn't you?
I feel like we're probably going to die out there one of these days, and I'm just real comfortable, and we've got friends now and like our neighborhood, and it's a pretty easy lifestyle, but that's all in the context of I get to return to Chicago really, I don't know, five times, something like that, every year, and stay a while and visit with family, and that just feels like, I mean, it feels like having two homes, really. It's just like, it's always great to come there.
And we're happy we have a radio show now so that we can introduce you to people who may not be familiar with you and also get you back on the radio with us. So, Robbie, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, and I cannot believe it's been three decades, but who's counting? We all look like we're in our 30s on the radio, right?
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, give Donna...
Great to hear your voice again. Great.
Thank you.
Great to hear yours. Give Donna a hug from us.
I'm doing it now.
All right. You take care. And again, Friday and Saturday, Space in Evanston. Thank you, Robbie. Stay in touch.
Thanks, guys. I will.
Take care. Bye-bye now. That's Robbie Fultz.
He is the best.
And again, you cannot pin him down. He's
no, and I love every kind of music. One of my favorite memories is it was the Christmas that you surprised me with the it was Christmas 1996.
Yes,
you surprised me with the 96 Les Paul custom guitar. And I brought it to the station, and Robbie was in the showcase studio with us, and we jammed. I want to say it was some old Elvis song that we were jamming on.
Oh, gosh. He knows stuff, too. I mean, he did a tribute to Johnny Paycheck, a whole album of Johnny Paycheck's music. Was hanging out with Linda Gale, Jerry Lee Lewis.
I forgot to mention that. What
sister.
A great album he did with Linda Gale Lewis. Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we will be right back here on WGN.
Is everybody ready? Is everybody ready? Is everybody ready? Here we go. You know it makes me want to shout.
King and Johnny Putman of WGN Radio. Put your hand on the radio, everybody. Say amen.
Woo.
Yes.
What was that, Julian?
Almost sounded like Al Green.
No, that was Isley, for sure.
Really?
That was from when they got inducted in 1992 into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, cool.
Good stuff.
Nice.
Could become our theme song. Because that means it's time now for our little shout-out.
Okay.
Or two. Or 22.
Or 97.
Yeah, really. I want to start out with a piece of snail mail. I will not read the letter, but I will tell you.
It was wonderful, and thank you.
Gina Gargano Amari, this is one that we keep. It was very, very...
Such a sweet letter, Gina. Thank you.
Yes, she's in Lone Tree, Colorado, and she listens. If she can't listen to the show, she listens to the podcast when she's on the road, when she's working.
And it was a piece of snail mail that just we both love. By the way, if you wonder, we read and love snail mail, and you can just mail it to...
We don't call it snail mail.
Well...
Remember, we used to get in trouble from the postal workers that listened to us in the middle of the night and would say, hey.
Oh, but you mean now the mail is faster?
Oh, no.
Excuse me?
Never mind. Snail mail. Go right ahead. Snail mail it to us. Put it on that donkey and let it bring to our neighborhood. Oh, how many times we come and go, God bless him, and our mail person was wearing a miner's cap the other day because it was so dark when he was out delivering mail. It was just so sad because, you know, he'd been out walking since 7 o'clock in the morning, and here it was dark. All right, our shout-outs for tonight. And a whole bunch of states checked in, but I want to start out with Gina. Thank you, Gina, for your sweet letter. Sherry and Bob in Arlington Heights, God bless you guys for your wonderful cards. I showed Steve on our end table at home.
Mm-hmm.
We had St. Patrick's Day and anniversary and Easter, and thank you all from Sherry and Bob, and thank you guys so much. Sherry Hanrahan, her ribs have healed, and she has been healed, and she's feeling good for Easter with her cats, Lucy and Desi, and she's out in Romeoville. Jim G is in Wisconsin. I goofed. I said Sherry and Bob at Arlington Heights sent us the cards. No, they listen. Bonnie and George sent us all those wonderful cards.
That's right.
Yes. I'm looking at my own chicken scratching. So
that's
have
why
to
we have separate chicken
Stop.
Accounts.
And my checking account always has money in it because you round off to the next highest number and you will never, ever be in the red. Robin is listening.
He might be in jail.
Dyer, Indiana. It looks good, though. My check register looks fabulous. Dean is in Indy. I said Robin in Dyer, Indiana. Sherry is in Morris. Stacy D is out in Algonquin. Ken is listening with his pup, Gus, in Ann Arbor. Scott's in South Dakota. Greg Borgman is in Muskegon. Our buddy Bobby Danos, out in Sandwich, listening on his clock radio. Betty Wilkins is in St. Louis. Also, Ed Wales, who listens to us and sends us a picture of a Upper Peninsula moose. It is a close-up of this moose who does not look real happy about having
How did you get that close-up?
Yes, Ed.
A telephoto lens, I hope.
Tell us, Ed, because that's one awesome picture of a moose. Something I don't often say either. John Kane says, how late are you on tonight? Well, John, we're on till 2 every Saturday night into Sunday morning. Roy Phillips is in Northwest Illinois. Janice Corotobi is on the northwest side of Chicago. Michelle Reitman, thank you, Michelle, for tuning in from Skokie. Bonnie Pearson is in Grays Lake. Susan Powell is in Memphis. Jan Repath is in Waukesha, Wisconsin, listening on her AM radio. Chuck Hunka should be from Memphis.
Yeah.
Because he would be a hunka. Burning love. And I'm sure Chuck has never heard that.
No one's ever said
that
to him.
No one has ever looked at Chuck and said, I'm sorry, Chuck.
You're turning so red right now.
It's the pink glasses. Uh-huh. Yes. Michelle Fairfield is in Peoria, Illinois. Peter Juckabowitz is tuned in. He's a big fan of the Tom Appel segment of the show. He's in Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin.
Coming up after midnight.
Yes. Brian LaFever, thank goodness Chicago's listening. He's in Bridgeport. Thank you for listening, Brian. Laura Helm is in Urbana. Larry Mann is in Miami. Jackie Spores is in Janesville. Rose Marie Gleason is in Grove, Oklahoma. That may be the first time Grove has checked in from Oklahoma.
I think you're right.
Roger Camp is in Somerville, South Carolina. Joan Bloom is in Greenville, South Carolina. Rita Rage is in Denton, Texas. Wow. We are really getting around tonight. Gail Maslin is in Tinley Park. As I said, we're really getting around
tonight.
Carrie Johnson is in Palm Coast, Florida. Terry Brock is in Bridgeview. Christine Failing is listening on her Sea Crane radio in Plainfield. Barry Leskov is tuned in. Scott Cooper is in Naperville. Melissa Garman is in DeKalb. Paul Pookie Helverson tuned in. Justin Sebas. Mary Ellen Vance is in Shelbyville, Tennessee. Robin Aiken is in Port Charlotte, Florida. Louise Palish is listening. She said, my brother Mike will be listening for sure from his man cave on the northwest side of Chicago. Ellen Thomas is in Kenosha, K-Town. Nancy Nosig is in South Holland, one-time home of Roger Treemstrom. Mm-hmm. That's true. Rich Wade, one of the Chase twins, is out in Troy, Missouri. Gene Jacobson is in Milwaukee. Sharon Malone. Chuck Shearing is in Arlington Heights. Susie Breda May. It almost has a rhythm to it. She's in Spring Valley. Nancy Tomachevsky is in West Allis. Lynn Kinzer is in San Antonio, Florida. Nancy Holland is in Northbrook. Fred Husar showing us pictures of hot dogs. That is just mean.
On top of the food Jones we already have.
Oh, man, that's
rampant
mean.
Through the studio.
Yes. Hey, We've got crackers. Mm-hmm. That's it. Joan Smith is in Holland, Michigan. Chuck Snitchler, best friend of this here radio station, sending us some of pictures of his Easter decorations. He's in Hobart. And Eric Baum, who checks in from Wells Beach, Maine, and this time he sends us what looks like another postcard.
That's a beautiful picture.
Picture postcard. This is, last week he sent us the lifeguard chair in the snow, and this week it's just a gorgeous picture of the boats out in the water. Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru, and she sent us a lovely little happy Easter. Beverly Ann Goodall is in Highwood, listening on her Sea Crane radio. And Paul Bringe, if I missed you, I'll catch you next week, so please tune in.
And I want to give a shout out to some of the people that some of the countries that are following our blog, and we would like it if you would follow our blog. Just go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We'd like it if you would subscribe. There is no cost, and we don't spam you. You just get an email anytime we do a new blog post. But this week we have heard from The United States, from Ireland, from Canada, from Serbia, from Poland, from Pakistan, from the United Kingdom, and Belgium. Those are some of the people that are checking out our blog. And we're talking about snail mail. If you would like to write to us, you can just send it to Steve and Johnny, care of WGN Radio.
We have a mailbox here.
303 East Wacker Drive, 18th floor, Chicago, Illinois, 60601.
Or just send it to Steve and Johnny. It's amazing how over the years we would get a piece of mail and that's all it would say on the outside of the envelope. And it would actually make it to us, which was pretty cool. Of course, we were on 100 hours a week, yeah. So it was hard to miss us. Real quick, I want to mention Tom Holland is listening from Curacao. Is that how you say it? Julian, I turn to you. C-U-R, because I know Steve doesn't know how to say it. C-U-R-A-C-A-O. Because Tom Holland just finished playing the Blue Seas Blues Festival with John Primer, who we're going to get on the show some night. We're going to get Tom on the show, too. So is that how we say it? Yay or nay?
I think it's Curacao.
Oh.
Maybe it's Curacao?
Maybe it's the drink I'm thinking. That's never mind.
Could be.
So speaking of drinking and going to other states.
Yes.
As of midnight, it will be 420 day.
It will be, yes.
We're going to take a break, and after we come back from the break, we're going to celebrate 420 day a little bit.
The unofficial.
Yes.
The unofficial weed holiday. I know it's Easter. I understand that. This has only happened back in 2014. It won't happen again that the days coincide. I guess it's 2085 is the next time that 420 day will be Easter.
Well, and we'll celebrate it then, too.
We will, yes.
But right now, we'll take a break. Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We have to figure out a way to record what goes on off the air. Because we mentioned that we were going to be celebrating, since as of midnight, it is 420 day. Mm-hmm. And we mentioned we were going to observe that. And Julian has been doing his best Cheech and Chong impressions
yes.
for the past several minutes. He's doing both of them at the same time. Which is
he can do that, though. He's young.
So, 420 day, and there is one song that we have been playing for years that celebrates 420 day, and this is a song that was written by our friend Bob Young. Bob is the guy who does the opening theme for our show. For years, he was our go-to source of wonderful new songs.
Such a songwriter. Yeah. So good. And every piece that you hear, whether it's our theme song, or if you remember the Yacht Lyle Dean, or the song.
The WGN song.
Yeah, that was every bit of that was Bob. He did all the parts and all of the instruments. He was incredibly talented.
Sadly, we lost him at too young an age, but he should have had many, many, many hit records.
Yep.
He was an extraordinary person, musician, and he put this together. Well, if you've ever wanted to celebrate 420 Day, this is the perfect song to do it to. Mm-hmm. This is Bob Young and Roll Me Along One.
Here.
One more time.
Okay. I called the Salvation Army to pick up some faded old clothes, and then I found a bag in the pocket of a coat that I wore long ago, all chopped up and carefully measured. Was one OZ of Mexican gold, and the notion of illegal pleasure, hell, it jumped in my brain and took hold. So roll me a long one, light me a strong one,
dust off the pipe and the bong. We'll put on some Pink Floyd, get dumb as an android, and hope that the kids don't catch on. See, I used to smoke marijuana that I bought by the bag and the key. I'd get high whenever I'd wanna. Hell, it just didn't matter to me. And I don't think them doobies have hurt me. I don't think they've changed me a note. I support all the pot referendums, but I just keep forgetting to vote. So roll me a long one, light me a strong one, dust off the pipe and the bong. We'll put on some Pink Floyd, get dumb as an android, hope that the kids don't catch on. Let's dance. We'll pretend that we're back in the 60s in our tie-dyed embroidered peace sign. We'll go swimming in some public fountain, but maybe not naked this time. We'll cover our mattress with flowers like we did in our VW van, where we'll make love for hours and hours, or at least as long as we can. So roll me a long one, honey, light me a strong one, dust off the pipe and the bong. We'll put on some Pink Floyd, get dumb as an android, and hope that the kids don't catch on. I'll play my guitar and my mouth harp, sing you some old Dylan song. Then we'll lie to the kids when they ask us why the Twinkies and cookies are gone. And maybe, just maybe tomorrow, though I really can't say for sure, if guilt ain't too bad about the fun that we've had, I'll just go out and find us some more. So roll me a long one, light me a strong one, dust off the pipe and the bong. We'll put on some Pink Floyd, get dumb as an android, hope that the kids don't catch on. We'll hope that the kids don't catch on. Hey now!
Here.
Bob Young, roll me a long one. And everything you heard on that was Bob Young. He wrote it. He did the harmony. Yeah. He played the harmonica. He did everything. And
all in his bedroom studio.
Yeah. And yeah, that's the same Bob Young that does our theme.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to start playing more Bob stuff because we've got...
We have a lot of stuff that was never even put on CD. That
Bob would always send us to anytime he had anything new, he would... send it to us.
Mm-hmm.
First time we met Bob was at one of the Summerfest
Taste of Chicago. It was 112, and we were stationed next to the porta potties,
as they always did. Yeah. Anytime WGN Radio was going to be broadcasting from Taste of Chicago,
all the FM stations got those primo spots. So we'll put the talk radio station that happens to be number one in the city right next to the porta potties.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? They're old. They can put up with it. Ah, we showed them. We had the biggest crowds.
Yeah, we really did.
Oh, I miss those days, she said with her fingers and toes crossed. Because I'm lying. Because it was hot and miserable.
But Julian, you would have loved it. Because we did contests. Mm-hmm. We had a sculpting contest where we gave awards for the best sculptors with Spam.
Right. Spam and Hot Sun always mm-hmm. goes over really well. And in fact, people took it seriously. They did some amazing sculptures. So we had to have mm-hmm. really good prizes for those things, which every year, I think about
the... I'll never forget the guy who did the...
Bulls.
It was the Bulls, back-to-back
victories. It was two...
And it was, in Spam, two Bulls... Back to back.
With a shaving cream coming out their noses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to be there.
No, if I ain't playing solitaire, might put a little funky music on the air. Baby, since you ain't here, might get the one of them little nasty videos off the shelf. But you know these days, I be keeping pretty much to myself. Mrs. Saturday Dance, pretty crowded to flow. Couldn't take it without you, baby. Don't get around much anymore. Thought I'd visit the club. They might have asked me about your job. Don't get around much anymore. Now, darling, I guess my mind's more at ease. Nevertheless, why stir up memories? Been in fight at all day.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. I love that. believe it or not, we're going to be talking about all things automotive with the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I am well, thank you.
Good. Good song to start with.
I love this theme for tonight's cartoons. The theme is what, Tom?
Don't get around much, four ways.
And you have no idea how much I love this theme. This is one of my dad's favorite songs, and it's one of my favorite songs. It's one of my go-to jam songs. And I did a little bit of research. Now, everybody associates this with Duke Ellington, which they should.
But that was not Duke that we just heard.
No, that was, in fact, who?
Dr. John off his album Duke Elegant from 1999.
And Duke Ellington originally wrote it, but it was originally titled Never No Lament.
Hmm?
Huh.
And it didn't become a hit until a guy named Bob Russell wrote the lyrics to it. Duke wrote it in 1940. Bob added lyrics in 1942, and that's when it became a hit.
And a classic.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. That, you know, the original title, it just does not roll off the tongue.
Yeah.
No, it does not. It does not.
And you sent me on a mission, and maybe before we wrap up our conversation, I may play you a couple things that I found to add to the playlist that you sent. I found two in particular really interesting versions.
But can I just say that Dr. John on a good sound system in a car is the best.
Yeah. Yeah, he was quite a producer. I mean, the stuff he put together sounded awesome.
He was great in concert. I'm telling you, I saw him.
Oh, I never saw him. Oh.
I had glitter all over my body for a week, literally, because he shot glitter out of a big cannon from the stage, and I was in the second row center.
Was that back in his Night Tripper days?
It was.
When he came out with it with this weird headdress and everything.
Yeah, and a lot of velvet, and when the glitter shot out, and we all screamed, and then we realized... You're wearing, I don't care how often you shower, you still got glitter.
Yep.
Well, okay, we're going to talk cars tonight because Tom joins us a couple times a month. And it seems like forever since we talked cars with you, Tom. You are, of course, a publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive.
In fact, the blatant plug light has just gone off. So if people want to follow Consumer Guide and follow you, who, what, where, when, why?
Yeah, check us out at consumerguide.com. If you're looking for a new car, check out our Best Buy list. If you want to read my full reviews, they're all right there at consumerguide.com. And be sure to check out the podcast, the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
Wait, that would be award-winning.
Yes. Yeah, oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank
Best
you.
Best in the world?
Yes.
We ranked 6 out of 70, which was very nice.
Yeah.
I'm flattered. And this week we have Gary Witzenberg, who used to be a General Motors engineer who would go on to become an auto writer. Mm-hmm. He's our guest on the podcast, and we talk about the Pontiac Fiero and the Pontiac Solstice, Pontiac's last two attempts to build a two-seater.
Yeah. Was he behind either of those?
He worked at GM at the time, did not work on those projects, but he did work on, interestingly, the EV1, the who killed the electric car.
That's a song. Now, that's a country song right
that
there.
That is.
Yes.
Tom, correct me if I'm wrong. The Solstice, wasn't that Pontiac's version of a Saturn?
Yep. You're right. The Saturn Sky. And they rode on the exact same chassis. They were mechanically identical, but they looked completely different.
Yeah. That was a classic example of what good stylists can do with a platform.
Yeah, they were both great-looking cars.
Was the Fiero the one that that Ed Curran drove?
Well, I think you're right.
And Kathy and Judy did a week's worth of programming about, obviously a man designed that. No, it was the Probe.
No, you're thinking of the Probe.
The Probe,
you're right. Yeah, the Ford Probe. It was the name.
Yes. But I was just thinking about the Fiero was a cool little car.
And Tommy, wasn't the Fiero one of the many cars that General Motors got right just in time to kill it?
Exactly. We talk about that on the podcast. They launched it with a four-cylinder engine that wasn't very interesting and a four-speed manual transmission. And there were some quality control issues early on. And by the time they had gotten past those quality control issues and improved the handling considerably, they discontinued the project, unfortunately. But the last versions, the 88, I think it's 87, 88 with the V6 engine, very desirable now.
Wow. I see on your site, consumerguide.com, there's quite a bit of reporting from the New York Auto Show.
Yes, more stuff than you would expect. We've lamented in recent shows and conversations about how there hasn't been much in the way of introductions at auto shows, but actually a fair amount of news came out of New York this year, and there was news from Hyundai, Subaru, and Kia, which is a lot of fun. But Hyundai is adding a top-line trim level to its I'm sorry, I've got that wrong. Hyundai is actually updating the Palisade, which is their very successful large crossover.
Mm-hmm.
So that's getting redesigned, and it's going to get a hybrid model, finally, and I think a lot of people want that.
Good.
That's a pretty big vehicle, isn't it, the Palisade?
It is quite big, yes. It's among the larger SUVs. It's somewhere between like a Toyota Highlander and a Toyota Grand Highlander.
Right.
And
right.
For 2026, they actually stretch it a little
because
I think they want to be longest.
Whoa, okay. And what about Subaru? What did they have to unveil?
Subaru had a lot going on, including, I would argue, a controversial redesign of the Outback. the very successful vehicle that I think defines the line, it doesn't look like a station wagon anymore. And I don't know if that's important to the brand or not, but you guys can check out those pictures. That's the all-new Outback. The new Solterra, which is the electric vehicle that they build in conjunction with Toyota, that gets freshened and that gets more range. And this is the newsbreaker. This is the one we didn't see coming. The Trail Seeker. Subaru is launching its own EV, not built in conjunction with Toyota, that is larger and more luxurious than the Solterra. So that's a big move. And you would think that in this era where we're worried about EV incentives or not, or EV tech infrastructure, it's kind of cool that Subaru's just going to go ahead and do this anyway.
Okay. People have questions for you tonight. We're going to cover some recall news as well as some other automotive news, and also,
by the way, just before we move away from Subaru, what is this with the Subaru Outback has a ruler built into its taillights? What's that all about?
This is something that we've seen Jeep and Ford do for a while, and you'll find them in the tailgates of certain Ford products or on the back of certain Jeep products, but it's a ruler, and
what?
It's the simplest thing in the world. It's just incorporated into the taillight, and I think you can measure up to 2 feet, 24 inches of something. And they're suggesting it would be fish. Like if you catch a fish, you can hold it up
you
to the taillight.
You run to the car, and you hold it up to the car. That's so handy, clever,
wacky. Costs no money.
Okay.
And that's just kind of with vehicles that are supposed to go into the wilderness.
Yep.
I'm going to go back and go out on a limb and say a guy designed that. I know what size shoe I'm wearing, so I don't need that. We're talking with Tom Appel. Sit tight, Tom, or hang loose, as Steve likes to say. We will come right back. And 312-981-7200, we have some questions for Tom. We'll get to all of that and more here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. That's one of Tom's car tunes. And the theme again tonight is?
Don't get around much, four ways.
And that is?
That is Bill Doggett. I think an underappreciated organ player, pianist and organ player, mostly worked in the 50s and 60s.
Bill Doggett, most remembered for Honky Tonk, Parts 1 and Part 2.
Yes, and longtime listeners to this radio show know that Honky Tonk was the song that would send Max Armstrong into another place and another time. He was at the fair circuit when he was just a little boy.
And he would start, anytime he heard Honky Tonk, he'd start doing this this thing like one of the fair barkers.
The barkers, yes. Something to behold. Okay, what are you driving these days, Tom?
Oh, I'm glad you're asking. I'm driving the Kia Carnival.
The Carnival?
The Kia. Excuse me. It's harder to say than it should be. The Kia Carnival. It replaced the Kia Sedona as the minivan in Kia's lineup. It's very fresh and look exciting looking. Very, very fun design for a minivan. I keep calling it the single dad bachelor pad because it's a cool minivan and you still need it for the kids on the weekend, but it's not embarrassing to drive. But the big news for 2025 is the availability of a hybrid drivetrain, and that's what I'm driving.
And what do you think of it?
I like it a lot. I've one disappointment. The seats came to me. When the vehicle came to me, the seats were down, not up and in place. Mm-hmm. So it was set up for loading cargo. When the seats are down, unfortunately, they rattle a bit. So once I had those back up in place, the rattle went away. So it's a minor issue, unless you keep the seats down all the time. Plenty of power from a decidedly small engine. It's a 1.6-liter engine that's been hybridized, but plenty of power. And it's returning a reported 43 miles per gallon, which is outstanding.
Yeah.
That's huge.
How about the comfort level?
Super classy car, nice seats, beautiful interior, very quiet, nice ride on the highway. This is a very good minivan.
Enough legroom and headroom for you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good.
Now, with the seats down, is it possible that the rattle has to do with the seat belt or something like that?
Or the headrest?
That's a good question. I've run into that before where I've had to buckle seats, especially in the second row, to stop rattling. I don't think that's the situation here. I think it has more to do with how the seats were just sort of laying in position when they're not up and in place. And I think that if you had anything loaded in there, that would probably go away as well.
Sure.
Sadly, as we talk about the automotive industry, one of the things we have to again return to is tariffs and the automakers responding to tariffs.
Yeah, there's been some news, and every day there's little new things eke out. I listened to an interview today with Jose Munoz, and he's the new CEO of Hyundai and the Hyundai Group, so that includes Kia and Genesis. And right now, he's promising, and this is probably the best news we're going to get in the next couple of weeks, he's promising to hold the line on pricing and take no action at least through May. And similarly, Ford brass have announced similar intentions that they're not going to cut production of anything, limit imports, or raise prices at least through May. So that's the good news. But there's plenty of bad news out there, too, unfortunately.
Well, before we get to any of the bad news, how can they promise to hold the line? Is it because they already have some things in the pipeline, or what's the rationale behind it?
They have parts?
Yes. Actually, there is stuff in the pipeline, and right now there's about a 100-day, 90-day supply of vehicles on the ground in the U.S. Now, that includes things in the pipeline, so those vehicles would not have been affected yet by any price increases or tariffs. That's the good news. But the bad news is after that, what these manufacturers are suggesting is that they will eat the cost for a little while. And that is a tremendous amount of cost to eat, so they can't do it for very long.
I was looking at a group post on Facebook from one of the Lincoln groups, and some of the people were saying if these tariffs hit, that the example they were using was the Lincoln Nautilus.
Right.
Is going to be close to $100,000. And if you're thinking about the Aviator and the Navigator, you're getting in the stratosphere. So it could really have an impact on Lincoln in that particular case. And a lot of those products are coming from China.
Yes. And for whatever reason, Lincoln has said that at this point they have no intention to change the price of the Nautilus. Which is interesting because the new Nautilus is actually selling in better volume than it used to, and they can't possibly absorb 100% tariffs on that vehicle. So we'll see where they do with that. I don't understand eating the cost, even though this is a really important part of their lineup, and it's possibly the best vehicle in their lineup. But cars coming in from China, we know that Volvo has announced that it's going to kill the S90 in the U.S. that comes from China. And that's a large midsize sedan, really beautiful car. Mm-hmm. It doesn't sell very well. Probably won't impact the marketplace too much. The company that's going to get hurt is the company that we don't know that much about yet because they've had a very slow rollout. And that is Polestar. And that is Volvo's companion brand. It's an all EV brand. Most of their production comes from China. They can't possibly make a go of it selling vehicles that would all be over 120 grand.
What is it, if you know, what is the rationale? And again, let's just stay with Lincoln for a second. Are they thinking, okay, if we eat the cost on this, it will allow us to keep the sales up and hopefully this tariff thing will go away after a while and we're just hedging our bets and thinking that we need to keep getting these vehicles into the hands of peoples and hopefully that will inspire more sales? And I don't know, what's the rationale? Am I right or wrong?
No.
Or?
Steve, I think that is the rationale, and part of what's happening here, too, is that the Nautilus has been incredibly well-received. The reviews are great. I drove it. I love it. It's a fantastic car. Interesting thing about Cadillac and Lincoln in China, they're actually slightly upmarket of the U.S. brand. So this vehicle actually has a kind of nicer interior, but it's very quiet, beautiful dash display. I mean, everything about this car is really sweet and exactly hits where Lincoln wants to be, which is not sporty, but more of that sort of spa-like, you know, refuge kind of thing. And I think that they would hate to pause after a very, very successful launch of a redesigned vehicle.
And isn't this a case of, for years, Lincoln has been trying to get a solid footing in the American luxury marketplace, and the Nautilus is one of the first vehicles that appears to be really doing that?
Yeah, that's very true. The only other thing that sells in kind of volume and is well-received is the big Navigator. But that's a very different thing, and it's not really what they want to base the brand on.
And what would I know we got a break for news, but what would, with tariffs, what would the Navigator price be? Like $150,000 or something?
I don't know. Fortunately, that's all North American, so we're only going to pay a tariff on the amount of that's not U.S., fortunately. But yeah, that would still go up in price, and it's already up to $130,000 vehicle.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay, fine.
We'll continue talking cars with Tom Appel from Consumer Guide. Stay with us here on WGN. Well,
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. Believe it or not, we're talking all things automotive with Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide. And this is one of Tom's cartoons. Tonight's theme is different versions of Don't Get Around Much Anymore. And this is a really unusual version. You want to explain it to us, Tom?
Yeah, this is Paul McCartney off his really underappreciated 1988 album, The Russian Album, which he produced in Russia with a stripped-down band, very minimalistic, and he just did some really hard rocking. And this is the whole album is fantastic, but I love this cover.
Yeah, it's a
and it still sounds like Paul, which is really cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
And I believe one of the reasons he did it is because even though the Beatles never played in Russia as a group, there was such a huge fan base in Russia, and people smuggling Beatles albums in, and so he thought he wanted to kind of say thank you with that album.
There's a funny story about the reviews for this album. Paul had suffered a few releases in a row that didn't get especially good critical reviews, and then this came out and immediately beloved by the music media. And he said, well, my next album I'm going to make one copy of and bury in Iowa.
Okay. Let me segue to, again, there are a couple things that we find ourselves returning to when we're talking car stuff. One word, Tesla. Where do we start?
Well, the odometer story is befuddling. And if people haven't seen this yet, a gentleman who lives in L.A. has determined and found lots of support for the fact that Tesla doesn't actually use an odometer in the way that we understand it. And to quote Tesla, the company uses information including energy consumption, driver behavior, and predictive algorithms to determine the mileage that a vehicle has traveled. So you think you have an odometer, but you don't. You have an estimate of an odometer. And the problem here is that the particular person who's starting a class action suit believes that Teslas are rolling up mileage 15% faster than they actually are.
Oh.
So your reported mileage is 15% higher, which means they're exaggerating range, battery range, and you're burning through your warranty too quickly.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And my pea-sized brain says, I'm sorry, you travel from point A to point B, and the distance is a mile, and that's what it is. Now, why is there any confusion here, boys and girls?
Not the days that you're wearing blue or the days that you had carry out.
It is baffling to apply technology to something that was working just fine beforehand. And a 68 Rambler and a 75 Thunderbird.
Yep.
Better at reporting the actual mileage travel than a 2025 Tesla.
What is the separate from the legal ramifications of this? What are you hearing from the rest of the automotive industry? I mean, I would assume they're all saying a mile is a mile.
Yeah, and we actually saw some trouble with this about 20 years ago. Honda got busted for accruing mileage on the odometer about 10% faster than reality. The net result was that people thought they were getting better fuel economy than they were, and that they were burning through their warranty a little bit too quickly. At the time, there was no determination that this was actually intentional, but it was still embarrassing for Honda.
What is this and a lot of other things doing to Tesla sales?
Yeah, this one's brand new, so we don't know the impact of this on Tesla sales yet. But we do know that Tesla sales are down dramatically in other markets. And it's important to realize that they sold 1.8 million vehicles last year. Only about 700,000 were here in the U.S. And then sales here aren't as bad as they are in Western Europe, which is a problem. But the big news last week, last year, Tesla slipped under 50% market share. Last week, we know that they slipped under 50% market share in California, their biggest market in the U.S., mm-hmm. and even independently, it would be one of their biggest markets. So that's a real problem because they have lost the faithful.
Is there any news about that bare bones Tesla that was supposed to come out, the one that was like $25,000 to $30,000?
Yeah, there's a couple of things, and I had actually thought that this story was already dead, but it resurfaced, and we know now, I guess for sure, we have more evidence that Tesla's not going to be building what they were calling the Model 2, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. was going to be a very affordable vehicle, and we knew this anyway because they were going to build it in Mexico, and they needed to build it in Mexico to get the price where they wanted it to be. So that wasn't going to happen. The other alternative was a very inexpensive version of the Model Y, which is their popular small crossover. But it seems unlikely they can cut more cost out of that vehicle anymore, especially because they now have factory utilization issues because the Cybertruck is such a flop that they are way below achieving any sort of economy of scale in production right now.
You talk about Tesla, and you automatically think of EVs, and I was surprised by this story saying that General Motors' EV battery cell production overtakes Tesla.
Which is an interesting story, and I don't know exactly how that worked in terms of the numbers, but Tesla does produce most of its batteries itself. Although they do import some, I think Panasonic builds them for them. Mm-hmm. And General Motors has got a bunch of plants. And I think what we're doing here is including General Motors joint venture operations. And they have one with LG Chem out of Korea. And I think one with CATL, the Chinese maker. I might be wrong about that last one, but I think we're counting joint venture numbers. But either way, it's interesting and it's good to see GM scaling up.
And apparently GM is betting a lot on EVs as they're moving more and more of their models to EV only. Well, what's the latest with it? Was it Buick and Cadillac that were saying to some dealers, if you're not going to sell the EVs, you're losing your dealership franchise?
You know, the three of us had talked about this like 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, when Cadillac was trying to trim some dealers from its roster. And these were mostly small dealers in small towns that didn't actually do a lot of Cadillac volume. And then a couple of years ago, Cadillac asked dealers to pony up some serious money, at least $500,000 each, to pay for infrastructure and for training and things like that at the dealership to support the EV movement. And a lot of dealers bailed out. And what General Motors did is it had private negotiations with these dealers and basically bought back the franchises from them. So there's about a third fewer Cadillac dealers now than there were 5 years ago.
We've got some listener questions to get to. Tom, we'll take a break.
Touch on some recalls, too.
Yes, and in fact, a listener wants to know if you could tell us anything about a Ford F-150 recall. So that and more coming up with Tom Appel here on WGN.
Anymore. Thought I'd visit the club. Got as far as the door. They'd have asked me about your daddy. Don't get around much anymore.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking all things automotive with the publisher of Consumer Guide, Tom Appel. The cartoon's theme for the night is different versions of Don't Get Around Much Anymore. And Tom, I half apologize for usurping one of your choices with I was looking around for different versions and stumbled on Etta James and thought, oh yeah, Tom's going to dig this.
Yes. No, that was great. I didn't know who that was. That's exciting.
That would be good in a car with a good sound system for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
I'm going to have to send you a link to that.
Mm. Okay, Terry writes, you were talking about Ford earlier. What can you tell me about the F-150 recall, Tom?
There is a single huge F-150 recall, and we may have hit on it last time we spoke, but 2015 through 2017 F-150s, 1.3 million of them are being recalled for a situation where the transmission will suddenly slip from a high gear to a low gear, effectively throwing the car into a skid as it slides forward. So, yeah, it's a big deal. That's got to get checked out. And word has already gone out on that one.
Is that the same as the brake issue?
No, this is not the brakes, but the effect is basically braking.
Okay, because there's 124,000 Fords are being recalled for brakes.
Yeah, Ford is making all the wrong news this year.
Bless their hearts. Oh,
yeah,
and what a shame, because the F-150s have been historically very reliable.
Reliable. They're also profitable, but they're excellent trucks. So it's a shame that they're this is really killing their reputation this year. Ford has the highest warranty costs in the industry, and this year's not going to be better.
Hmm. Well, as we always say, though, when you have a recall, it's actually not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because they're recalling it, they're going to fix it for you. I read a figure the other day. Something like one in five cars on the road today is actually driving around with a recall on it, and people might not know about it or they've not done anything about it. And I'm like, one in five? Doesn't that seem...
It's interesting, too. You guys may remember that Jeep had a situation with the Grand Cherokee, a version that was three or four generations old, and they were really dragging their feet on the recall. They issued the recall, but people weren't coming in.
Right.
And they got a court order compelling them to get people in to get that stuff fixed.
Wow.
And it was kind of ugly.
Well, I think it is worth mentioning, just in case you're one of those one in five cars with an unresolved recall, you can go to the NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration website, and put in your VIN And all of that information pops up right there.
And even if you don't think there's a recall, not a bad idea to just occasionally throw your VIN into that website and see if there's anything you don't know about.
Your brakes are not working.
Oops.
Any other big recalls that we should mention, Tom?
There's one here that's a little troubling. And, it's Ford. 2025 Ford. So these are new. Bronco Sport and the Escape, those are basically the same vehicle, powered by the 1.5-liter three-cylinder engine, are running into a loss of power because of the powertrain control module. I'm sorry, you know what? I'm reading for the wrong vehicle. That is the 2025 Ford Explorer. It has a faulty powertrain control module. What it's doing is resetting itself, and the result is a loss of power, which could, of course, lead to an accident. That's some bad news. Also, this is classic Ford, too. The transmission doesn't want to go into park if you have a problem with your control module. Yeah.
Well,
it seems endless.
I don't think that would be unresolved. I think the first time that happens, and if you don't die of a heart attack, then you actually get it resolved, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
That's
terrifying. Word on that goes out May 30.
Now, I have to ask, and I could be wrong on this, but I thought the Explorer and the Lincoln Aviator were made on the same chassis. Am I correct these days? And does that recall impact Lincoln?
It does not. The Ford is for the 2.3-liter turbocharged engine.
Okay.
That's not even offered in the Lincoln.
Okay,
so
got
that
it.
Seems to be the issue, yeah. So it's unique to the Ford.
And there's one software recall, and we have those occasionally. This one was posted at Volkswagen. Audi vehicles on their website, they indicate that there's a software issue that could cause the instrument panel display to fail. The same software issue could also cause the speedometer to stop working. And you know the officer's not going to buy that when you tell him, my speedometer doesn't work. It includes a range of vehicles, including the SQ8, the A6 sedan, the A7, A8, Q7, Q8, RS6, RS7, the S6 sedan, the S7, S8. You better check that one out.
Text at 312-981-7200 from the 847 area code says, please ask Tom if he's seeing a price increase for used cars.
Wow, no, I haven't heard about that yet, but it's worth noting that the price of new cars is sneaking up slowly in the U.S., so dealers seem to be getting ready for a shortage of vehicles. We know that new car prices went from as low as $48,000, and they've crept up to like $51,000 this year, so it's starting to happen, but I have not heard that for used cars yet.
A listener from 608 area code asks if you've heard that the 24 Tundras have engine problems.
It is not the 2024. It was the 2022 and 2023. And you may remember 100,000 of those vehicles need new engines.
Does
not involve the 2024. So they fixed the problem.
Okay. A listener also had quite a lengthy text about his vehicle, his CRV. Apparently, the heat and air system does not work. He's getting the runaround. He takes it in. He drops it off. He's told they can't do anything until Honda, I guess, corporate, okays it. Are there any other options in a situation like that?
One, you could try another dealership because it doesn't have to be any particular dealership that services the warranty. And also, you can try to reach out to Honda directly to reach a regional person, in case the dealer isn't being as helpful as they could be.
And you would find out how to do that by looking at your manual, and they would have numbers? Or
generally, yes. Also, if you want to, just make a fuss in social media.
Good point.
Yeah.
Because eventually the manufacturer wants you to stop making a fuss, and they will reach out to you.
Yeah. And that works. And if you're... For example, the 773 area code text was very thought out, very thoughtful, just very long. That's why I didn't read the whole thing. But you could do that on social media and get some attention that way, too.
Yeah. Also, if you've already written all that, print it out and try mailing that someplace as well. But eventually you will reach someone who wants to help you.
Good point.
As the clock ticks down on us, the blatant plug light is coming on. So if people want to follow you and look at Consumer Guide, who, what, where?
Yeah, to get on my newsletter, just send me a text. I mean, email, I'm sorry, at carstuff@consumerguide.com. We've got a new podcast coming out Tuesday morning. And otherwise, just check us out at consumerguide.com.
And right. Follow Tom on Blue Sky at Car Guy Tom.
That's me, yes.
Thank you, Tom, as always. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye now.
During the North African campaign, a bunch of soldier boys had been on a long hike, and they arrived in a little town called Casino. The next morning, being Sunday, several of the boys went to church. A sergeant commanded the boys in church, and after the chaplain had read the prayer, the text was taken up next. Those of the boys who had a prayer book took them out, but this one boy had only a deck of cards, and so he spread them out. The sergeant saw the cards and said, "Soldier, put away those cards." After the services were over, the soldier was taken prisoner and brought before the provost marshal. The marshal said, "Sergeant, why have you brought this man here?" "Much, sir," replied the soldier. The marshal said, "I hope so, for if not, I shall punish you more than any man was ever punished." God and the deuce reminds me that the Bible is divided into two parts, the Old and the New Testament. When I see the tray, I think of the Father, the Son, and the
Steve
Holy Ghost.
Steve King and Johnny Putman and WGN Radio.
I think of the four evangelists who preached the gospel.
That was Wink Martindale. And that goes back to a much different time in the music industry, roughly 1959.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, we lost Wink last week. He passed away Tuesday at the age of 91. And at that time, Wink was a disc jockey, and he recorded that for Dot Records. It sold between 1 and 2 million copies. He wound up doing it on the Ed Sullivan Show.
It was number 3 on the charts. It went even higher in Canada. It was huge in the UK. I mean, it was just, as you say, it was a different time because this was an interesting story that he's telling. Yeah.
And it has to do with the soldier and how he uses the deck of cards to mm-hmm. replicate his religious thoughts.
But you remember the punchline. The punchline is, "I know this is true. I am that soldier."
Yeah.
He had a great voice, too.
Oh, he did.
He's remembered by so many people as a game show host because, gosh, what a fabulous career as a game show host.
Things like Tic-Tac-Toe and Gambit.
Tic-Tac-Doe.
Well, yeah.
Not toe. Yeah, Gambit was big.
Yeah.
Wasn't that like the early 70s?
Yeah.
And then Tic-Tac-Toe, High Rollers, and then Debt. He did Debt mm-hmm. in 1996 to 1998.
And he had a very, very successful career as a game show host, but he always kept his foot in radio. He started in radio in Memphis. And back in 2001, we had the very fortunate experience of co-hosting a concert with Wink Martindale. It was a fundraiser contest for the Rockabilly Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, the location was the historic Ryman in Nashville. And what a show it was. We were there co-hosting with Wink and Red Robinson. Red was a Canadian disc jockey
mm-hmm.
who was the disc jockey who interviewed Elvis back during Elvis's only tour outside of the United States up in Canada back in 1957. But at this Rockin' at the Ryman concert, we were there with Wink, Brenda Lee, Crystal Gayle.
The Jordanaires.
The Jordanaires. Members of Gene Vincent's Blue Caps. Sanford Clark, the legendary Boots Randolph. It was an extraordinary evening with some incredible talent from literally all over the rockabilly world. It was a full house.
Oh yeah.
And selfishly, I will never forget that night because I got to play with some of the members of Gene Vincent's Blue Caps, with Elvis's drummer DJ Fontana backing me. Mm-hmm. And we're going to post some pictures from that night on our Facebook page. But that's when we first got to meet Wink in person.
And hang out with him backstage.
Along with his wife, Sandy.
Yeah. And it was funny because my folks were so impressed that I was going to get to meet Wink Martindale because he came from our part of Tennessee, West Tennessee, born mm-hmm. in Jackson, Tennessee, started out in radio in Memphis. And so they were like, whoa, it was like me hanging out with Elvis that I was hanging out with Wink Martindale.
Mm-hmm. And he couldn't have been nicer.
Oh, yeah. Just and his wife, too. She was just delightful.
Just terrific people. And it was somewhere, and we've been looking and we can't find them, somewhere in our archives we have some old pre-digital camera photos from that night. If and when we can find them, we will post them. What we will do is we will post a link to the Rockabilly Hall of Fame page. And you'll see some of the people and some of the things that happened on stage that night. But we also wanted to play a portion of an interview that we did with Wink. One of his very memorable days was early in his career when he was still a disc jockey in Memphis. And when he got to interview on his TV show, Elvis Presley. And he knew Elvis from Elvis's very early, early, early days. And we talked with him, and he shared the story of not only the TV show, but also his early, early days with Elvis's very first record.
You were a disc jockey in Memphis in the early days in your career, right?
That's right, Steve and Johnny. I actually was there the night that the original, I think I can safely say, the original rockabilly star was discovered. I happened to be the morning man at WHBQ Radio in Memphis in 1954, and I happened to be at the station that night when Sam Phillips walked in with the first rockabilly record, which was Blue Moon of Kentucky. And That's All Right Mama, by a new singer by the name of Elvis somebody. And Dewey Phillips, who was the jock, did a show called Red Hot and Blue every night, was really the number one jock in the city of Memphis. He had the reputation for playing black music for white kids because they were just getting into that kind of music, getting away from the vanilla sounds of Joe Stafford and Eddie Fisher and that sort of thing. And so when Dewey put the record on that Sam handed him, the old 78 RPM acetate, we all thought that Elvis Presley was a black singer.
Mm-hmm.
And so, lo and behold, when we called his house, they lived in low-rent housing out in East Memphis called Lauderdale Courts, Mrs. Presley got on the phone, and Dewey Phillips said, "Miss Presley, get Elvis down here. We're playing his record, and they can't get enough of it." And she said, "Well, he went to see a double feature at the Suzors over on Decatur Street. We'll go over and find him." They literally got in their truck, went over to the theater, and walked up and down the aisles. There was Elvis sitting by himself because he had been so nervous he knew his record was going to be played on the air. They brought him down to the old Chiska Hotel on South Main Street in Memphis, where the studios were located, and Dewey Phillips put him on the air that night. And that was the beginning of rockabilly and the beginning of Presley mania, really.
Was that all? I mean, we've all heard the story about how there was such an instantaneous reaction. Was there really that kind of reaction that night to that song?
Absolutely. You know, you've heard of many times. We've all heard of telephones lighting up like a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I saw that happen for the first time in my life. I mean, not only that, not only did the phones light up, and not only did they want to hear one side and then the other, one side and then the other. He didn't play anything else from about 9:20 that night until he went off the air at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
He just played those two. And kids came streaming down to the studio. We were on the mezzanine floor of the Chiska Hotel, and kids were breaking the doors down to get in. And we weren't supposed to have visitors at night. But it was the most exciting thing that I've ever experienced in my life. And the next day, all hell broke loose in Memphis. And, of course, that record, as you guys know, was a regional hit. It wasn't really a breakout national hit. But the next day, Music Sales, which was the distributor for Sun Records there in Memphis, they couldn't get records fast enough. Sam Phillips literally could not press Sun Records fast enough to meet the demand of that one record. And it all happened in one night.
Wow.
I mean, that doesn't happen anymore, as you know, in our business. There's no way that happens anymore. So those exciting evenings like that are passé, but boy, I'll tell you, I lived through it. And then I had the pleasure of living through Beatlemania, and, you know, so I've had a lot of excitement in my world.
Well, you were sticking with the rockabilly end of it for just a second. You were also, you had a TV show that that Elvis appeared on, didn't you?
Yeah, I did a Saturday afternoon Dick Clark-type American Bandstand-type show. It was called the Top Ten Dance Party. And in 1956, a couple of years later after that night at the Chiska Hotel, when the first record was played, Elvis came back to Memphis from doing his first picture, and he didn't make appearances on television. Colonel Parker wouldn't let him because he wanted Elvis to be paid for everything he did. But Elvis happened to be doing a benefit concert at the Overton Park Shell there in Memphis in July. And so he came on my show with Dewey Phillips, the guy who had played his record for the first time that night in 54. And we did about a 25-minute interview. And again, one of the most exciting events of my life, because around the television station that afternoon, we had so many people, and the traffic was so great on Madison Avenue in Memphis that we had to have special security guards and police to take care of everybody. It was just an amazing afternoon, and fortunately, somebody suggested to me, this was before videotape, 1956, and somebody suggested, Wink, why don't you get a photographer to come in or a cameraman to come in and film this interview? And so I paid for it myself.
There was
no budget for that sort of thing. A guy named Bob Zimmerman came in, set up his camera right there in front of the jukebox where we did this interview. And fortunately, that interview was recorded for posterity, and it's one of the earliest filmed interviews, if not the first, that was ever done with Elvis.
Wow. I still get goosebumps when I hear those stories. Just thinking about what a good call on your part. You probably went home that night just pinching yourselves. Good, Wink. I know it cost you hard-earned money, but that was a good move.
That's just a little bit of a conversation we had with Wink Martindale about his early days in radio and TV.
Consummate
and with Elvis.
Professional.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And what a loss. I mean, he was 91.
Lived a great life.
A full life.
Yes, had four kids.
And he and Sandy were married for years.
Yeah, and he was still active and doing shows and trivia contests and active on the internet, on his Facebook page. And
had recently, a few years ago, started Wink Martindale's History of Rock and Roll,
yes,
which aired across the country on various radio stations.
Right, right, and stayed very active just in general. I'm laughing because I remember him talking about not only did he have four children, but he also was a dog lover.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you remember this, but he named his dogs after his various game shows that he hosted.
Oh, I didn't remember that.
Because those game shows were actually very, very good to him.
Yeah.
You know? And he's considered one of the, you know, great game show host mm-hmm. in history. And so it's interesting when I look back over some of the conversation that people had after his passing on Tuesday. And so many people, that's what they remember him as. And yet his career in radio is just so impressive.
Oh, sure. And if we can find the older pictures, we'll post them. We will post a link to the page from the night that we co-hosted along with Wink at the Ryman in Nashville. And we'll also make sure you have a link to the interview we just played and the picture of Wink with Elvis. So we'll post them on our Facebook page. More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, a little leftover from Tom's cartoons theme of Don't Get Around Much Anymore. And I was looking around for different versions of that because it's one of my favorite songs. And I stumbled on that. That's Hank Marvin. Hank Marvin was Cliff Richard's lead guitar player with the Shadows. And Hank has that distinctive Fender Stratocaster sound, but he puts his own twist on it,
and that's good. I've never heard that.
I'd never heard it either. I was just looking around, and that's when I found Etta James and Hank Marvin, and I found a couple other ones. It's just, but Hank is so good.
Oh yeah, that was. Is it fair to say it kind of had a shuffle to it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a shuffle feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of an interesting cross between jazz and country twang.
Mm-hmm. And if you look at the diverse versions of Don't Get Round Much Anymore, it's crazy, from Etta James to Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
To, let's see, we started out with Dr. John.
Yeah.
And Bill Doggett. That's... There's a whole album right there.
And this is, musicians will get this. For a guitar player, that's just a song that's a fun song to play. You know, sometimes I'm noodling.
What?
Yeah. Oh, that's one of my favorite songs to play.
Oh, well, where have I been?
Must have been a different blonde that was in the living room listening to me when I was playing.
No doubt.
Okay.
But that's your assignment for Easter. You can entertain the family at Easter.
The winning moments, getting ready for the last call, 312-981-7200. But we get to say, hey, Rob.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you tonight?
I'm very good, thanks. It's a pleasure to be back with you again.
So you didn't draw the short straw. You were okay with this.
Oh, I love it. I love it. This is this is what I live for. I love being on the radio, love talking to you guys, and just being here is just great.
And this means that when you get home, you get to sleep and then wake up in time for Easter dinner.
I'm pretty excited about that, too. Yeah, yes. I'm going to come home, take a quick nap, and then heading over to my sister's for some Easter lunch, I guess you'd call it. And
then,
so.
Are we doing a ham? Do you know?
We're doing a ham Dean Richards way. So,
what does that mean?
Oh, he's got this wonderful ham recipe that's...
Is it in a crock pot?
It is not in a crock pot that I know of, okay. But I know it's covered in all types of sweet things, so which makes it taste even better, that salty-sweet combo.
Yeah, I've got a recipe I'm kind of on the fence about. It's in the crock pot. It's a can of Coke.
Oh.
Yeah, you pour a can of Coke over it, and then you just put the lid on. I'm
and
like,
I've heard about this, and most reviews I've heard rave about it. So I'm kind of curious to try it.
Okay, I'll try it.
I've heard Dr. Pepper as well.
Yes. Now, Dr. Pepper makes a great, great barbecue.
Yeah, yeah.
You can do barbecue chicken with Dr. Pepper, and it's just got just enough zing to it. And don't use diet Dr. Pepper. If you're going to do it,
Yeah, don't mess with the diet stuff. Just
why even bother with diet Dr. Pepper or diet Mountain Dew for that matter? Why do they even make that?
Well, you know, if you order a diet rum and Coke, you will get higher faster than you do with a regular rum and Coke.
Really?
Yes. I was told that by bartenders.
But also, you know, most dietitians say, okay, if you're on a diet, quit messing around with the 14 cans of Diet Coke.
Yeah.
Do one can of Diet Coke and be done with it.
Or,
and then,
or one can of regular Coke.
I'm sorry, one can of regular Coke. That's what I meant.
Because you answer that craving that you have for something sweet.
Yeah.
And this is coming from a woman who averaged 6 cans of Diet Coke a day.
Whoa.
And I haven't had a Diet Coke in 10 years. And that was a withdrawal. I mean,
that
was really tough.
I can remember very clearly when you first started moving away from Coke.
Is that when I tried to get a gun?
Yeah.
And wanted to start smoking again?
Because you would be a different person for a while.
Do you still ever crave a Diet Coke?
No, no. In fact, I cannot tolerate artificial sweeteners now.
Yeah.
Once you get away from it. But while you're drinking it, nothing tastes quite as good. And I'm like, wow. Now that you try it, you realize it's very chemically and it's just wrong.
Yeah.
So other than the ham, any Easter traditions at your house, Rob?
No, we're tradition free for the most part, other than that kind of.
What about deviled eggs? Is that a tradition at your house? Because we have to have deviled eggs at Easter.
You know, and so many people say that to me, but I've never known about this deviled egg on Easter thing. But apparently, it's a big deal.
Well, do you like deviled eggs?
I'm on the fence with them. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. It all depends on who makes them.
I am known for my deviled eggs. In fact, Bob Kessler. Newsroom Bob, midday news guy, used to be our producer, and after he was with us for about a year, he came to me and he said, any occasion, don't buy me gifts, just make me deviled eggs.
He really did.
So Christmas, I would make him a couple dozen deviled eggs. On his birthday, we wouldn't have cake, we would have deviled eggs. And when we were here on his 50th birthday, we were here doing the midday show, and I surprised him with enough deviled eggs for the whole newsroom.
Wow.
Because he really liked them.
In fact, if you want to surprise Bob sometime, refer to him as Kombucha Bob.
Yes.
Kombucha Bob.
Yes, because he, as our producer, decided that he would be the guinea pig for Kombucha had just come out, and nobody knew very much about. And now you can go into, you know, a Whole Foods or a Jewel, and you can buy a bottle of kombucha tea. But we had a woman on the show who was starting this whole thing where you could order a mother from her. So this blob would come to you in the mail, and then you would let it grow, and you would drink the juice that it would make. Mm-hmm. And Bob was doing that. And we were
he
terrified.
He was growing this kombucha plant in our office.
And we were scared to death.
It started out in kind of like this small jar, and then it grew bigger and bigger.
And
pretty
then,
soon it was starting to take over the office, as
the
I recall.
And the liquid looked like pond scum.
Yeah.
And he would, and we go, no, don't. Oh, no, it's good for you.
Yeah.
And,
didn't
he lose weight? And he felt better? And good for you.
He lost his hair. He learned how to play suddenly he could play harmonica. He was writing songs. He was dancing. It was amazing what it did for him.
Speaking in tongues.
Yes.
I may have to give this stuff a try.
Yeah, really?
I need to do all that stuff.
But you don't want it growing in your office. It was icky. It was like a bad basement. Have you ever been in a basement that just smells musty?
I have one of those.
Yeah, I did too. I had one. I used to stand at the top of the stairs and just let my bicycle roll down the stairs because I was like, my hair is going to smell musty if I go down there.
Yeah, yeah. And then everything that's down there smells that way. And,
yep, yep.
Yeah.
Well, I wish I had some chocolate bunnies and stuff to pass out to everybody so we could... Because we've been on a little bit of a food Jones tonight.
Yeah, yep. I'm blaming Julian for all of it.
Yes.
Fair.
Julian, you went to the place in...
Yeah, what was the restaurant again?
Oh, the Hampton Social.
Apparently there's one in Old Orchard, listeners tell us.
Ooh.
Yes, it's next door to Uncle Julio's in Old Orchard, which would be right across from our old haunt, Houlihan's.
Yeah.
Used to be there, so it's right in that area.
Houlihan's. That was my nickname in high school, Houlihan.
What? Houlihan?
Yeah.
Julian was Houlihan?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to live that one down now.
It's okay. Paul Lisnick has a bevy of goofy nicknames for me already.
I just call you the wrong name. That's all.
It's okay. You guys just referred me as Julian, so I just feel like I'm just like the Cher of the Steve and Johnny show.
That's right. The Julian. Oh, gosh. Well, Rob, you're welcome back anytime. It's a pleasure to have you along. And again, this gives you an excuse to just do anything you want for the rest
of the week.
Nice.
Because you stayed up all night.
I worked overnight.
Believe me, it worked for us for 30 years.
Well, thanks so much for having me. I love that Dr. John song. That was so good.
Oh, wasn't that cool?
It was a nice pick-me-up in the newsroom. I turned it up a little bit.
Were you in the house when we did a little tribute to 420 Day?
I didn't. I missed that.
We'll have to send you a link to it because our buddy who did all of our theme songs over the years, Bob Young, did a great little ditty.
Called Roll Me Along One.
Roll Me Along One, yes.
Nice.
You know what? It just makes me feel good to say, doggone it, we played that on GN.
Yep,
love it.
Yes. Well, we are into the final few minutes of the show. You know what that means.
If you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200, and the lights are... blue lights are flashing, and I think I'm hearing a Zamboni in the distance.
Yep. It's fired on deviled eggs tonight. Yep. There it goes. George just texted and said, I would love a couple dozen deviled eggs and a key lime pie about now.
Mm.
Obviously, he's been listening tonight. Those are just a few of the food things that we've talked about.
Well, if you would like to be our last caller, 312-981-7200, you don't have to have anything pithy to lay on us, just kind of make a fist.
Hold your phone.
Or since it's 420 day, maybe not. Who knows?
And by the way, that's pithy, P-I-T-H-Y.
Yeah, that is.
Oh, can I just quickly say things that you assume people know? Oh, my gosh. We were watching Wheel of Fortune. I am still reeling from the fact that you have a panel of three people and no one knew the golden rule. It was...
I mean, they had the sentence,
the golden rose.
R, and then it was E at the end, and people...
They were saying rose, rock,
road,
rule,
and
I'm like, what?
Huh?
What happened to the golden rule? That was really depressing.
Yeah.
And I think they ranged from 30 to probably 60. 60. I'm like, really? And it's not just nerves because that was the last question.
I mean, they had the golden R, blank, blank, E.
How many times did they say rose? And we're screaming.
I said rose, ride.
The golden rose? What? So, again, it's Easter Sunday. Think about the golden rule today. Let's practice the golden rule. All right, let's remember what it means.
Boy, do we need it now.
Yeah, amen.
If you would like to be the last call, some lines open, 312-981-7200, and you could win some goodies from the prize list as long as you have not won anything from this here radio station in the past 2 months or 60 days, whichever comes first.
Because in the case of February, it could be like 2 months and a day.
That's true. It could. So 312-981-7200 if you would like to be our last caller.
It's that time again. We gotta say
good night. You know it's getting late. Tomorrow is another day, my friend. All right, people. It's time to go home. Yep.
Yep.
Losing time.
Losing time.
Head on out. So let's go. You don't have to go home.
Yeah, you really kind of do.
But you can't stay
no,
here.
No, you can't.
Mm-mm. Can't sleep.
And you can't hear the rest of the song either. So
that's the closing song by Red Peters. If you'd like to find it on the interweb,
mm-hmm.
look it up on YouTube, and
mm-hmm.
and you can hear why we're not going to play all
mm-hmm.
of it.
Unless, remember, if you ever hear the whole song, that means we're out of here for good.
Yep.
Because yep. they wouldn't let us come back if we played the whole song.
Although, as I've mentioned, technically we're in safe harbor,
yes.
so technically we could,
yes,
but
technically.
Will we?
No.
Next right. week, full show next week.
Oh, it's Patrick night next week.
Yep, Patrick Crispin. We got some mm-hmm. stuff to talk about with Patrick.
We're going to track down Steve Burness to talk about some of these crazy scams going on, like reservations being stolen and restaurants hurting because of it. And, well, just too much to talk about with Steve, and we'll try to do that next Saturday as well.
Also, if you want to send us some snail mail, you can do that, and I will, you know what? I will put the address up on our Facebook
okay.
and all our social media pages
right.
if you'd
Sounds
like
good.
To do that.
Yes. We are going to take our last caller, feel no pressure, caller, because you are just going to leave us with a good feeling as we slip into Easter morning. So we're going to say good morning to, how about line one?
Okay, and line one is Patty. Hi, Patty. Where are you calling from?
Hi, Riverwoods.
Hey, Patty. How are you doing tonight?
Fine. How are you?
Good, good.
I was listening to WGN. I was the one that called you about the Marriott. I don't know if you heard.
Oh, about the Marriott.
The Marriott Lincolnshire?
We're going there today. We're going there for the brunch.
Oh, are you really? Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that. You're actually, because I was asking, do they still do this fabulous brunch? Oh, if they have that big...
Yeah, we went last year, and my husband was our 48th anniversary on Wednesday, so he took me to the play, the Titanic.
Oh, great. Oh, we have friends that went to see that, and they said it was fantastic.
It wasn't, well, I won't say anything.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
But you wouldn't
necessarily. It's a musical note. The songs are really fast, and they go from one singer to the next. And even my husband said, a lot of times we couldn't understand the words.
Oh.
The
oh, that's
a
too
lot
bad.
Of time.
Yeah,
there
that's
one
too bad.
We couldn't, yeah.
That's unusual, too, at that theater, because acoustically, our experience has been the acoustics are really good. So
yeah.
it must have been just the music itself. Yeah.
The music was really fast, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So are you doing an Easter dinner today or any plans like that?
No, we're going to the Marriott for the brunch.
Oh, so that's what you're going to do. Oh, smart woman.
Yeah.
Okay. And if they have that big seashell full of overflowing shrimp, will you take a picture for me?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Seriously.
Do they still do that?
Well, I don't know. I've been there once. When you took me last year, we saw the sign about the brunch.
Yeah.
So we went there last year, too, for the brunch.
Oh, I hope
so
I hope it's as wonderful as we remember it, because we started out the show tonight talking about it, and I said I fantasize about that overflowing table of fresh shrimp that you could just eat until you couldn't eat anymore.
Well, I was telling them about one other one, too, that we've gone to a lot, and that's the White Eagle.
Oh, that's a great restaurant. Yeah.
They have the whole room is full of food. Different stations. The whole room.
So when you die and go to heaven, you want to go to the room that's full of food. That's a good idea.
Exactly.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. Well, it is sure nice talking to you, and congratulations on your 48th. We just had our 41st.
Thank you.
Are you
congratulations.
Are you normally up at this hour of the morning on a Sunday morning?
Yeah, I'm a night person. My husband's a morning person. He's a CPA.
Oh.
So he's just getting over. He's got his own business in Chicago, so he's
you know, he's a morning person, I'm a night person.
Well, we're kind of the opposite. He's a night person, I'm the morning person. So, yeah, this is kind of like completely out of my comfort
Johnny's
zone.
Johnny's usually getting up about the time I'm just getting sleepy.
Yeah. So, and your husband's just coming out of tax season, so he has a reason to go celebrate, right?
Oh, yeah, and he's going to be 80 in June. I think he works longer hours this year. He's got a CPA business on Lawrence Avenue.
Oh, God bless him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Do us a favor and hang on, and the Julian
okay,
will...
Nice talking to you.
You too. Happy Easter. Julian will get some information from you off the air, and we're going to send you a WGN T-shirt, and thank you for listening, too.
Yeah, that's... I'm trying to think of the last time we were there.
Oh, it has to be 15 years. I'm just happy to know that they still do it.
Yeah.
Julian, did you notice you were the Julian? I'm working on that.
The Julian?
Yes.
I like that.
Actually, from now on, I'm calling you Cher.
Yes.
You know, if I could turn back time.
Oh, good. All right. I want to quickly mention... I just lost my place. I hate that.
See, we're running out of words.
I know. I want to mention on Friday night, there's this really cool thing happening.
And oh, yeah. You've been teasing me with this for the past couple months.
Oftentimes, we talk about the full moon and eclipses and things like that. Anyway, on Friday, there's going to be a rare celestial event known as a triple conjunction, Venus and Saturn. Now, imagine this. You've got two planets, and they're up in the sky, and they're horizontal.
As opposed to being down on the ground.
Stop it. They're horizontal, okay?
Yeah.
Imagine. And then you've got the moon.
Wait a minute. So you're saying the planets are flat?
Stop.
Is flat?
Listen. We're running out of time. This is important. This is a triple conjunction Friday night. So you've got Venus and Saturn. Imagine two eyes up in the sky, right?
Yeah.
Below that, there's going to be a moon sliver.
A smiley face.
It's going to look just like a smiley face. I'm showing you a picture.
And it looks like a smiley
face. That's what it's going to be.
A little bit of a creepy smiley face.
The eyes are a little far apart.
But yeah.
It's going to be a celestial smiley face lighting up the sky just before sunrise on April 20th.
Celestial smiley face before sunrise. Yep.
Stop that. I have to go to the restroom.
Spectacular.
Stop it. I have to go to the bathroom. Stop it now. That is not me. The crescent moon will alight. That's not me either. Oh, we started the show with a scream. We end the show with a good laugh. How's that? Oh, now my mascara is a mess.
What will I do?
So mark your calendar. Before sunrise on the 25th, on Friday, the smiley face is an illusion based on our line of sight. Venus and Saturn will be bright dots, the eyes in the sky, and the thin crescent moon will look just like a smile looking back at you. Hey, I'm going to get...
Kind of a Cheshire Cat thing.
Steve, I want smiles anywhere I can get them these days.
Yeah,
you know, if it makes me happy, makes me smile for, you know, 15 seconds, it's worth it.
Sure, I forget. What's our out time for this hour?
I think now's a good time to call it there.
Okay.
Okay.
Happy Easter, y'all.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out with us. Stay safe.